participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Joe.
Let's go back there. We can't start the show until he does it.
Of course not.
The weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
What are you enjoying to eat today? Because you never get called on Fridays at 3 o'clock to speak on the radio. What are you enjoying today, Joe?
Ham sandwich.
Another one? 2 days in a row?
There are more than one in the world, Mike.
Oh, I'm glad you like that, Johnny.
There are Mike. Hey, Mike. There are more than one in the world.
English 101.
More than one sandwich?
There are more than one.
That's a funny room back there.
It sure is.
I believe the second day in a row, Mr. Ardinger has had a ham sandwich.
Chart it up.
Is that two in a row, Joe?
Yeah, I have a whole pig in my refrigerator.
He might.
Can we start over?
Yeah, let's go outside and come back in and start again.
What's her name?
Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, over the line, guys.
I like that as he's
That
chewing.
Was his protest.
As he's chewing. Hey, okay, all right, listen to this.
Get ready for some hot fun Wednesday, October 18th. The Don and Mike Reno Style Show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Pike. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, youthful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, red hot Rob, and Don and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
Hello, and good afternoon. Welcome to the Don and Mike Show. Here in the center ring is the man with the cool pool. The crazy canine. The big lovable log that literally speaks of his life on air, Ringmaster Don Geronimo. Now, folks, direct your attention to the next ring. He's the Harley riding, restaurant owning, should I have it, baby, or not? The finest mimic of all the land, Mike O'Mara. Gaze into the third ring, you'll see and smell the sweetness, the kind of funky, kind of skunky newsman, Buzz Burbank. Look out, whoa, now don't be afraid, whoa, he's the harmless, very white ape, who only hits ya because he loves ya. Robbie, beware! Now let's not forget the telephone guy in the back. He keeps the head of Miller Lite floating, the legendary Joe Ardinger. Now, sit back. Grab your peanut bag, get a hold of your popcorn balls, and settle in for another titillating time with the Don and Mike Show!
I reiterate, I'd like to start this show over.
I bet she's good in bed. That is a loyal listener. Molly Warner.
Molly.
Oh, come on, Molly.
She sounded like a Molly.
Mike Show. Come on.
It's a compliment, Jesus.
Well,
hello! I've been trying to get to you.
That's right.
For long.
On a good look at Friday.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. They're ready to believe you.
On the expressway.
But I was wrong.
singer heart.
Rob gave that to me, and I gave it to you. Just as a gift.
And of course, Mike's talking about a social disease.
What you've got to stop doing is writing things that are funny that could never be mentioned on the radio. What you've got to start thinking about is things that are funny that could be mentioned on the radio. Okay?
You just have to do that. It was a lovely gift, though.
Okay, Klaus.
Klaus von Schwieweg.
I'd like to get rid of these tapes. Right now, you're kind of halfway between Kong and Klaus, kind of. Kong House.
Is Kong the worst and then Klaus will be the best? Kong.
Kong. Thank you.
Kong.
Today, New York, Kong.
South Asian.
Hello!
South Asian.
Hello.
I did something wrong with that, right?
Well,
yeah, okay.
There he comes.
There we go. Where's that big applause? Thank you, everybody.
You can tell by the smell.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Start today with your soul survivors. Express way to your heart. And it is the new episode of the show, everybody. On this Friday.
Friday!
09-29-06. It is September 29th. 20-06. We got one phone number. No waiting. 877-365-3636. It's like right now, these phones are already activated. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, hello. I just had to say that opener was the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
Well, that was contributed by one of you. I mean, you meaning you, the listeners.
One of your kind. It was from Molly. Don't get down on Molly.
Well, it just...
Don't get down on my Molly.
Completely creeped me out.
Molly. Hello, Molly.
Molly Ringwald.
Molly Dodd, the incredible Molly Dodd.
Is there such a thing as Molly McBride?
I think there is.
Is that a doll or a spread of some type, like butter?
Molly Hatchet.
Ah, yes. Oh, that's a good one. Good golly, Miss Molly.
I'll take that one, since we're doing kind of a musical.
And Molly Coddle. Molly Coddle?
Oh, no, hold on. Expression for, like,
pampering
somebody.
Right. That's Andy and Mayberry.
Molly Coddle.
Yeah, okay, you got it, Buzz.
Yeah. Molly McButter.
Molly McButter. Excellent.
That's what I was thinking of with Molly McBride.
Beth Ann McBride. Molly McButter.
Beth Ann, like butter.
Yes.
I'm out of Molly's. I can't believe it's
Rob, McBride. Like cottage cheese. I mean, if I was equating you to a food product.
Not sour cream?
Okay. All right, because it's German.
Breakstone sour cream.
The best.
All right. Sam Breakstone. Thank you for the call. You are the creepiest caller we have talked to today. Hello?
Hello, yes, sir. I just had to say that opening of the circus was the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
We heard that.
Where is he then?
We heard you say that.
For my money, circus music, I like that kind of that psychedelic acid-dropping circus music where it's, why like that at the end of some song?
Why are we hearing like this? See that echo on
hello?
This
hey
phone
you
line
get off of my
cloud.
Oh,
and he's gone. And we've broken another heart. Well, welcome to the show. Phone number 877-365-3636. We're on the web. You can hear us on your computer at donandmikewebsite.com. Send us email there as well, fan mail. And if you want the iTunes, just click on our webpage. We're there on iTunes. Let me see, before we get to stuff, who's this? Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Will you guys play HSS? Or, no, oh, my God. Will you guys play Hinder?
Will we what?
Will you all play Hinder? Is this HSS?
Yes.
Yeah, this is this is our station in Baltimore, right? HFS, yes.
It's coming up.
Okay, thank you.
Who you want to dedicate that to, honey?
Huh?
Who you want to dedicate that to?
No one. I just want to listen to it really bad.
Yeah. What do you like so much about it?
I'm dedicated to Melinda. I want to dedicate it to Melinda.
What do you like so much about it?
I love his voice.
Yeah.
His voice.
Hey, do you want to talk to one of the HFS jocks?
The HFS what?
You want to talk to one of the HFS jocks?
The jocks?
One of the disc jockeys. Wanted to talk to you on the air.
Yeah, sure.
You want to go on the air?
No, I don't want to go on the air.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I'll go on the air.
I want to go on the air.
I want to go on the air.
All right, well, hold on a second, Ed. You're going to be live on the air.
Is she going to talk to...
Turn your radio down.
Hot Jock Phil?
Yeah.
Turn the radio down.
Thank you. Hot Jock Phil.
It's like kind of a request.
Hold on, please.
Okay. I'm going on the air.
You see, the station that we're on in Baltimore, which is called many things, Free FM, Live 105, HFS. It plays music on at night and on the weekend.
It's nice to hear a girl with this low in IQ also.
So here we go.
Normally it's just guys.
Here we go. And this will be like this.
Look
at how dumb she is.
No way.
What?
Slut, skank, whore.
It says slut, skank, whore.
You can suck this. You effing C word.
I'm an effing C word.
Shut the F up.
Shut the F up. I don't know what this is now.
I'm
going
to jerk a knot in your tail.
I am, but he's calling you names. Hello?
Are you a prostitute?
Yes.
Have you ever said no?
You can do two songs. No.
What I need to do here is have me a bunch of affairs.
What?
You just don't value yourself enough. The fact that you would let them touch you is disgusting, and I don't want you to ever do it again the rest of your life.
Now let's switch over.
No way.
What is going on? All I want to do is listen to him.
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
Hi.
Hey, take it easy. You're scaring me. Name a good cheese. I am a powerful radio executive by day, male prostitute by night.
Well, we're not getting anything with her with that, are we?
No.
I'll go back to the language she understands.
Yeah, she's got to talk to the stern, Dr. Phil.
You are in denial. You effing idiot.
I believe she's not focused.
You just don't value yourself. If you don't take another drink today, you're going to be drunk for 6 months.
C word.
Oh, now there you go.
Now.
Yeah, you know what I guarantee? Whoever this girl's father is,
yes,
he better go right now and buy a boatload of condoms and give them to her right now, because I'm sure that this chick is
very
like,
sad.
Is like maybe a high school age slut.
Sounds like
that's what I'm guessing on her way to shock some top upcoming All American.
About 15 seconds ago, they just figured out it was on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Hello there. Turn that thing down, please.
You're on the phone. They're not even listening to the phone now.
Would you please turn down the radio?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a miracle.
There you go. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi there. So, what boy are you going to sleep with tonight?
None. I'm gay.
Boy, that kind of shuts us down, doesn't it?
I guess not. How old are you?
17.
Oh, now, 17.
I had the age right.
You had the age. You were spot on with the age.
Yeah.
Well, I would listen to the words of Dr. Phil. Take heed.
All right. Well,
no.
I had that. What? You're not going to do that with your lesbian girlfriend?
Oh, hold on. She actually wants to talk to you.
Oh, we're going to put her on.
Hello.
Yeah, I only hope your parents are listening today. I only hope your mom and dad are listening today.
Do your mom and dad know about you and your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they would just be proud of you guys.
They are. They love it. They like to watch. They like to watch a lot.
Oh, dear.
They videotape and everything.
Oh, my. Videotape and everything. Oh. Yes, they are going to be proud, aren't they?
I'm telling you. We got pump one and pump two on the phone. Right now, there's some 17-year-old guy in Baltimore who's trying desperately to find them. Like,
unless they're telling the truth. And
with this penis GPS system.
And they are, you know, girlfriend.
Oh, I bet she's at least bi. Darling, turn down your radio, please. Turn down the radio. You have to talk to the tapes again. Now, have you experimented with boys as well as girls?
Yeah, I have a baby. I'm 16. I have a baby. You're 17. I swear to God of my life.
No, this is the other one that got on there. What's your favorite subject in school?
Babies having babies.
I dropped out of school.
Yeah, okay.
Of course you did. There you go.
Yeah,
nice round there you go.
Who's laughing for me? Will you guys please play Hinder for me for
Jay? Yes.
And dedicate it to Jay, Lips of an Angel.
Yes.
What about Melinda?
Yeah, yes, we will.
Thank you so much.
You are
and make sure you guys dedicate it to Jay Tim for his 19th birthday.
Oh, and honey, don't forget this.
You can suck this.
Okay.
We're going to play your song next.
Perhaps a couple of pills called Focus Factor.
Hey, what's the number one station for teenage lesbians?
WHFS.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah!
Run on!
Thank you.
Now we got a show.
Woo!
Man, that's even 2 hours before the 5 o'clock whistle.
Thank you.
That's
coming up next.
No, next. It's 7 o'clock.
Thank you. Bye, honey.
Wash your face.
And the rest of it. And the fingernails. Don't forget the fingernails.
They're still talking.
Of course we're still talking.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that for 4 hours if you let us.
Hi there.
I have a favor. We need you to play Hinder for my brother who's, will be 19 on Sunday.
Jay?
He died 2 years ago. Can you put it from Melinda, Alicia, and Sissy?
Sure. You know what? I'll do that for you right now.
Melinda.
Right now, Alicia. I've got the song right here. You're live. And you want to dedicate it? What is the song again?
It's Hinder.
No, but
Lips Hinder. Of an Angel.
I've got it. Here it is. Who's it for?
It's for Jay Tim.
What station rocks your world, baby?
Huh?
What station rocks your world, baby?
WHFF.
All right. Listen up.
Here it comes.
What's the number one station for teenage lesbians?
That's
our
UHFN. Hang up now.
I guess so. And like when she's gone.
That was quite something.
That was delightful. Give her a round of applause.
Bravo. That was a pretty nice way to start the show.
Wonderful first call, I thought.
Pretty good. A couple of stupid young whores. Child in the back of the trunk, or I guess in the case of a VW, it might be in the front.
Front seat. Probably in between the two of them.
No, I meant in the front of the car, in the Volkswagen.
You mean right up on the hood ornament?
Yeah, last time. In a Volkswagen, in the old-fashioned Volkswagen.
Oh, yeah, they have the trunk in the front.
Right.
Right. Or at the very least in the passenger side, in the front seat.
Nice hearing from you, you chickies. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. I'm calling to talk about the girl that was just on, the 17-year-old lesbian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you related to her?
No, but I am in Baltimore, and I'm going to her house right now to track her down and bludgeon her in the face with a bat.
What is the moon cycle?
Why so violent? And bludgeon her. Well, why do you want to bludgeon her with a bat?
She's just. I cannot stand these girls that are. Because I'm a card carrying member of the lesbian community.
Right.
And I cannot stand.
Well, honey, hold on. She's on your team. Why are you mad?
Or is she?
She's an up and coming player on your team.
No.
Do you think she was making a joke about being lesbian?
She is a fake. She's a fake and a phony.
A poser?
Yes.
And she angered you.
It's these people, it's all these people who think that, I can make out with girls and it gets me attention. Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to IQ Friday.
It's the angry lesbian calling. Get it all out, honey. Go ahead. Get it all out.
All right.
Are you a lipstick lesbian?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Who's the celebrity you most resemble, do you think?
Good question.
I would say,
come on.
People say Julia Stiles, but with black hair.
I like Julia Stiles.
Yeah,
Save the Last Dance for Me. That's that movie, right?
Oh, I will, honey.
Hey, hold on. Do you eat meat? I thought you were.
That was very flirtatious for a lesbian.
I thought you were a vegetarian.
I'm fun loving.
Does that mean you're bi?
What? No, I'm not bi. It's a little bi thing. It's just selfish.
It's just what?
It's just selfish. You can't play on both teams.
It's selfish.
Selfish
would indicate that you perhaps sometimes desire men.
You ever crave the bone?
No, not really. It doesn't do it for me.
You don't like your sirloin bone in?
No, I'm deboned. I'm T-Bone.
Are you currently with someone? Do you have a lover?
Yes, I do. I've had a lover for 2 years now. So.
And what is she like? Is she?
Oh, you know her. Her name is Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Is she hot like you?
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's not very butch. So I mean, I've always said I don't go for the butch girls.
So are you both lipstick lesbians? You're both not butch.
Yes, we are. No, we're not. But if I wanted to be with a guy, if I wanted to be with someone that looked like a guy, I would date a guy.
Not a mullet between you?
Oh, no.
Well, then going on the traditional way that I read in the Bible, which one of you is the husband and which one of you is the wife?
That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, she's in school still.
Do you shave your legs?
Yes, I do.
Do you shave your armpits?
Yes, I do.
Does she do the same?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, we're very clean and stylish and glamorous.
She said her girlfriend is cute. Mm-hmm. Who's your girlfriend look like? Yeah.
She looks like...
Clint Howard.
She looks like Rosario Dawson a little bit.
David Gregory.
She's gorgeous. I love her.
She's gorgeous?
That's nice.
Do you guys wear...
Andrea Mitchell.
Do you guys, my God,
you ever see... You ever want to talk about a contest? Who's going to die first?
Yeah.
Get a split screen some morning when Imus is talking to Andrea Mitchell. Or it could be a contest to see who's got the skin that looks most like alligator skin.
Well, you know, Andrea Mitchell's married to Alan Greenspan.
Right. She climbs on top of him every night.
That's
huh?
the grip keeper right there.
And it's like, that almost makes her Anna Nicole Smith.
It does. I mean, you got to figure next
so
to
old.
Yeah, next to him, she's a spring chicken.
He's Mr. Burns.
Sure.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Darling, who does your lover resemble?
Rosario Dawson a little bit. She's African American and Puerto Rican.
Oh, I've seen her. She's pretty.
So did you do?
She's kind of like mulatto skin.
Mulatto.
Yeah, now you're getting us going here.
Yeah, put some cream in that coffee. That's right. So did you do that? Did you do lesbian stuff last night?
No, I did not see her last night. She had to work. She worked late, and I got to work early. So.
What do you kids do?
What do we do?
Yeah, like for a living.
No, in the bedroom.
For a living? I'm a hairstylist.
Oh, you're a hairstylist.
Yeah, and she's a waitress, so.
You got a funky hairstyle?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Multi-layered, multicolored?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you clean where it matters?
I'm sorry?
Are you clean where it matters?
Oh, of course.
Are you?
Have to be.
Are you, when he says clean, are you really clean? Like, are you a smooth operator if you get our drift?
Yeah. New operator.
That's gross.
So.
I mean, I was at, really, Mike, I was asking about if she cleans down there, but I understand your question, and that was just my reaction. Yeah. That's gross.
No.
That's like a baby, you know. John Bonet.
Does your girlfriend, what is her condition?
Her condition?
I mean, down there. She got
down
a
there.
She got a mustache, or?
Oh, she is, let me not get you guys fined here.
Hold on. She's answering, Rob.
She knows how to land her airplane.
Hey, okay. Thank you. Well done. Sorry, Rob, but that was a very important answer she was giving.
You know how Rob likes screaming at women, even if they're lesbians.
I was kind of caught up in the sexuality of the moment.
Yeah.
Don't get too overheated there.
Yeah, because I guess it wouldn't matter, would it?
No, it wouldn't. Don't get ahead of yourself.
You know, I'll tell you, whether she's a lesbian, I believe her.
I think
she doesn't like guys, but lesbians are fun.
Yeah.
Lesbians are fun whether they like guys or not.
We're the best people in the world.
Would you ever put on a show for guys?
I did in college. We did in college.
Not
really anymore. I mean, we're trying to like settle down and like develop a life. So. Right.
Like what if you were over, let's say, at Buzz's house and you'd had a couple of drinks and all of a sudden, you know, sexy Buzz said to you, "Hey, girls, let me slip on some of my whatever New Order or whatever."
Sure.
Yeah. Why did you girls take off your shirts and make out?
Yeah.
I mean, you might do that for a guy like Buzz, right? If it was a social setting.
You have to play some Tears for Fears or some Air Supply or something, but it might get me.
Oh, you like Air Supply.
Interesting.
You like Air Supply? Do you really?
No, not really.
You know, I have to...
No one really likes Air Supply.
Right. I know you're a lesbian, but I have to ask you this question. What are you wearing right now?
Homos do.
Uh, right now. I just got off work, so I have black, like, pinstripe pants on and a white shirt with a Jack Daniels thing on it and a black cardigan.
Hey, can you hold on just a second? I'm going to guess. I see every other line is ringing here. I can conference these together.
I sure like this lady.
I will bet you dollars to donuts that every one of these guys is a guy who's got something going on.
Yes.
Right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, let's see. I just bet you. I bet you're eliciting that response.
She's got it going.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
You guys are killing me.
Why is that?
Well, because I'm on the road and I don't have any athletic socks or warm towels.
Okay.
A little graphic, but thank you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, see, you're turning men on. How does that make you? How does that make you feel?
Let me try this one.
I mean, it's cool.
That's cool.
Whatever.
Yeah. How old are you?
She's out of college, so she's got.
How old am I?
Yeah, honey.
I'm 24.
24.
That's a good age.
Rob, look at Rob's face. Rob just gave me this look where it was just like, ooh.
Oh, is that your prime age now, Rob?
Come on. Rob just doesn't do that very often. He got into it. I think we're all kind of, hey, I'm telling the truth here. We're all a little intrigued by you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I do best. I really just called because I was going to go bludgeon the fake ones.
Oh, she's ancient history. We're not even thinking about her anymore.
All right, sweetie. Listen, you have good lesbian fun and keep listening to the show.
Oh, I will.
You go ahead and call us anytime.
You keep feasting on the easting.
If you're ever in Baltimore, you come look me up.
I will. I'll follow my nose.
Haircuts for Ollie. Bye, boys.
Hey, bye, Ollie. Free haircuts.
Bye-bye.
Bye, boys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, boys, as the late Rodney Dangerfield said to us.
Bye-bye, boys.
Bye-bye, boys. Bye-bye, boys.
You know, gotta love those lesbians.
Last chance this weekend, everybody. Want to mention this for the YouTube contest with our commercial. Last chance. So go to YouTube. Donna Mike, website.com has some information on that. What you want to do is go to YouTube, and when you get there, you write in Don and Mike commercial, and you're going to get all the choices. We will select on Monday. I can't go very deeply into this, but Hughes is really dancing about the commercial. Not that he's not going to do it.
Right. You mean by the one?
Yeah, one commercial. But he is making this seem as if, we are getting the gift of gifts of gifts of gifts. And how dare we look down on the fact that while they're buying a regular schedule of commercials for all types of radio, except us, they're going to buy one commercial. Mm-hmm. And if he said it's on CSI, if he can buy it, if it's open, it's, what is it, like he said, what, 10 grand?
Around that neighborhood.
Is it really?
At least, I would
think. Really? Around 10 grand.
That makes me laugh.
And,
well, would we be able, I hope if that's the case, that we will be able to, at least locally, enlighten our local listeners here in Washington.
Oh, yeah, we'd ask them to let them know when it's going to be on. Here's what I don't believe about it. I believe that a commercial that runs right before CSI would cost $10,000.
Right.
But the thing is, you know the way that they are with TV spots.
Yeah.
When this company buys TV spots, you look at the schedule that they buy, and because they do everything on the cheap, and they do everything half-assed,
right,
you end up with a lot of spots that end up running like in reruns of Punky Brewster.
Well, right near Howard Bernstein. That's when you get a lot of the spots for this station, right before he's going to give his weather update.
What, like at 12:20, you mean?
Exactly.
In the middle of the day?
Yeah. I would think also, if he's telling you that, if they are really targeting one particular show, and they're not buying another schedule, it might be that expensive, but I think they would give them some kind of consideration, considering that they're buying a large schedule. Not that I don't consider Michael Hughes to be a man of total integrity,
and he would
never stretch the truth.
He was all up in arms about it and was saying, hey, come on, get it together, and then had all these other concerns, of course, that even though it's a homemade commercial, that we had to be careful with the standards. So the monkey one might be out because it's the monkey throwing poop.
Yeah, I would think that would be a little on the borderline.
And then he said that, here's a shock, he said that the TV stations have a higher quality standard than radio.
Yes.
So is that possible? So the one that we select has to be homemade, but cannot be so homemade that it looks like garbage. Well,
that's part of the fun, though, is that it looks like garbage.
The way it looks is the way that it looks. So it looks like he's
maybe trying to at least run this up the flagpole to see if it's
going
to happen.
Good.
So, you know, as always, I don't believe him. I would peg the odds that this commercial runs during CSI or prior to CSI at approximately 3%.
Ah. And get ready for some sort of reason for that.
The chance that it runs during a show like Numbers,
right,
or The Ghost Whisperer, or some other piece of crap.
But see, it belongs in CSI.
Yes, it does.
It really does.
About 40%. The chance that, as Mike said, it runs during the noon news,
right,
where they have an avail.
Or on Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, that's like, I'd put that at like 70%. like 70. But either way, we have finally gotten the company's attention.
Yes.
So this commercial will run somewhere, somehow, sometime on TV. So go to YouTube, and today's the last day, because we will be selecting the winner on Monday's show.
It's like a game show prize. It's valued at up to $10,000.
It is. Speaking of CSI, before the next thing comes out of my head, I love CSI. Loved it since day number one.
Right.
Really have. Was ahead of the curve on this. Love it. Love it. Love it. Can't get enough of it. My favorite show on TV. Last night, am I stupid? Well, hold on. Don't answer that. Because I am. But am I stupid about this? The show. Thank you, Klaus. The
hey, you got a Klaus.
The
you didn't get a Klong.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Now you got a Kong and a Klaus.
I'm confused.
The show ended.
Yeah.
Without knowing who the killer was.
Right.
And without boring everybody who didn't watch CSI last night, I'm betting a lot of people didn't because it's on against Grey's Anatomy now. The show ends with Grissom looking at this little miniature house, this little room that this guy has built, the psycho killer has built,
right,
and he picks up a little picture of Danny Bonaduce, who was one of the guest stars who got killed on the show, and flips it over, and on the other side appears to be what I thought was a baby's eye and maybe a drop of blood.
A doll's eye, right?
Right.
Was it a doll?
I believe
a baby doll.
Yeah. And
doll's eye.
He looked at it like, aha, now I've solved this case. And if you can't figure it out at home, too bad for you. Because they fade to black.
Uh-huh.
They fade to black. And then it says, next week on CSI,
blah, blah, blah.
It's got nothing to do with any of the stuff that happened.
So are we screwed?
Or is it an unsolved case? Sometimes they do have the cases on CSI that are not solved.
What's the point of an unsolved case?
Well, I like that when they do that. I like it when sometimes they can't figure it out, but they always help out stupid people like me by saying at the end, even if they're being as quiet as they can, at the very end, they come out and they scream real loud for people like me. We didn't find out who killed the guy!
So it's an open case. I think so.
I think so. Either that or...
Pretty clever on CSI because you can always go back to the open case.
I think they will.
I hope they do, and they have in the past. They do plot arcs that go throughout the season.
Right.
But they invested so much time
in
that
model. I love when you say something like plot arc.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It's an arc. It goes throughout the season.
No, an arc is what they put the animals
in. Thank you, Mike.
Unless it's a lost arc.
Thank you, Mike.
Right. Or a lost art.
That's true. But I hope they come back to it because they put so much time into it, you need a payoff of some sort.
Hey, what about the father getting shot?
Yeah, Sam.
That's just, he's dead, lead in the head, dead. Yeah.
Not
done.
Good. Not a good day to be a Helgenberger on that show.
No, she had a bad day.
And boy, oh boy, she deserves the Jamie Lee Curtis prize for standing there without her makeup on. I mean,
monster.
You got
monster.
You got kind of the shot. Yeah, Charlize Theron. You kind of got
that's
a shot.
That's you, Carla. Because Carla calls that. There's that look that you know, and really, you see that look a lot with women that it's the colored hair, you know, where they have the blonde, dirty blonde.
Mike, we don't say colored anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. Highlighted.
Who he?
And you see it, and it's pulled straight back, and it's usually wet.
Yep.
And that's the look that Charlize Theron had in Monster, also that the real Monster had.
She was so bold last night as to not wear makeup in some of these scenes and to show herself as she truly is. And I say on behalf of everybody that loves CSI and watches CSI, especially now in high def, don't ever do that again.
I almost called you last night. Did you enjoy the crippled guy singing rock and roll?
Yeah.
I thought you did.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Coroner.
That was great. Oh, yeah, that was great. That was a good thing. They said, now, I guess Carla told me this, that apparently Danny Bonaduce was almost falling off the table when he was doing that, when they were doing that scene, because it was cracking him up. But, so that tells me two things, that Well, we all know that Danny Bonaducci's an asshat, but it also tells me...
Would you hear that?
It's not... maybe it was some talk show that they were on. And, they've got to sit there, just lie there, and really play dead, which has got to be, I would imagine, somewhat difficult.
The role he was born for.
I think it's... Don't you think it was perfect casting for him?
It was funny when they did show the Partridge Family picture.
Yeah, that tiny little one of him when he was right at the beginning of the Partridge Family.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Bonaducci is best when he's dead. But did you see they had to show the scene, the complete scene over again, where Catherine Willows creates her own rape pit?
Yeah.
And she looks in the mirror and she's making that face like...
Tell me about it. That's permanently saved on my TiVo.
And
then I sat and really worked it.
She's making a face like nothing's ever been up there before.
It's on screen for her now.
Thank you, friend. Buzz,
yes.
I do want to talk to you for just a moment
here. Alrighty.
I've not spoken to you. I've spoken to you in private before the show today.
Yes.
Didn't mention this. This is one of the weird things about Buzz that I can't figure out. I bring to your attention.
Right.
Yesterday, during the show, while we were talking about weight and everything and it's busting your balls, we came back from that break,
right.
And I said, I want to give you a piece of advice that Monday is Buzz's birthday.
Right, yes.
So you wouldn't be out of the loop on it.
And Rob was nice enough to send me an email today.
Now, hold on.
I also want to mention it's 2 days before his birthday.
No, Mike, you didn't even read the email. Because this is why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
I mean, you must have read it, but just glanced at it.
Yeah. No, actually, I saw the heading, and I didn't open it up.
Okay, all right. It says, from Rob to all of us, subject, Buzz's birthday.
Right.
And, I'm glad you didn't read it.
I did not read it.
You just saw the heading.
I just saw the heading.
Okay. Because this is where I have a question for kindly old Buzz.
All right.
It says, as a helpful heads up, I've been informed by those in the know, John Norman, that Buzz's birthday is actually Saturday, October 7th, not Monday, October 7th.
Second,
mentioned on yesterday's show.
Right.
Since the date falls on a Saturday, we will observe Buzz's birthday on Friday. Now, Buzz, this was my screw-up.
That's what the email said?
Since Frida has passed away, as I've proved with Big Frida and with everybody, I'm screwing up dates left and right. Robert has got a birthday coming up, my godson. Man. Mike, why are you pulling out your wallet right now?
Just the email said we're going to observe it on Friday.
No. Next Friday.
Huh? Oh, next Friday.
And
wait, his birthday's not Monday? No.
Now, bingo! Now, my question to you, Mike, indirectly to Buzz is, when I said this yesterday on the air, when I said Buzz's birthday is Monday because I thought it was Monday, why didn't you say, hey, ass, my birthday is Saturday, not Monday?
Because at that moment, we were moving from one element of the show to another, and I didn't want to slow things up, and you did such a nice job you said such nice things there, I just didn't want to derail it. I thought, well, we can iron all this out later.
Okay, when would later be? Because, I mean, you and I chatted during commercial breaks.
That's true, I think you'll understand, I think somebody will understand that I just felt odd at that point going, oh, by the way.
Why do you promote the fact that it's your birthday? We all do.
It would have been funny, too, because he was telling me when your birthday was, like,
and
I'm the big idiot.
And I was wrong.
And then he would have been wrong, and it would have, well, now I understand. It would have helped me out. That's what would have happened.
Nothing to do with that.
Yeah, Buzz, ludicrous.
I don't mind stepping on the landmine.
But wait a minute, I didn't want you to be called out there because you were legitimately helping me out.
And my question to Buzz then would be, being as I wasn't playing a game with Mike and I wasn't like goofing around and Buzz a sly wink or something, why did you just say? Hey,
on the air, it didn't seem like a good time, and afterward, I just felt uncomfortable going up to you or anybody and saying, by the way, it's not really my birthday.
Why?
Well, I don't know, because it draws attention to it. We've all sort of...
You like attention on your birthday.
Well, everybody does.
You like attention.
As a matter of course, on the show, we sort of, toned that down. We don't do that as much as we used to.
Hold on a second.
Yeah?
Negative. I have never wanted a big deal about my birthday. Mike wanted a big deal.
Yes.
But there has always been the rule, and we've never changed that rule, that like a month before,
give a reminder.
You start giving out hints, you start giving out reminders.
See, I didn't this time. I didn't do it all month. I haven't said anything at all.
And then why is that?
Because I just didn't want to make a big deal out of it this time.
So you're like, Don, you don't want a big deal made of your birthday?
Well, of course I do. I just meant I personally didn't, I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. Others may, if they wish, but I didn't want to.
Well, I think that the key is if you want a big deal made on your birthday, you gotta do a little of that. You're on your own.
If we don't know when
I'm one of the greatest ones at doing that. I kind of set that table.
See, I don't get it because if we don't know when the birthday is,
I know.
Well, when is the birthday now? Is it Friday next?
Well, it's actually Saturday.
A week from today? I mean, a week from tomorrow?
We're celebrating it though. A week from today, right. Next Friday.
Right.
Since we no longer do a Saturday show.
What was the reason you didn't bring it up?
You're tough not to crack, Buzz.
Like I said, I didn't want to break the flow of the show at the time, and later I felt uncomfortable bringing it up.
Why?
I don't know. It seemed...
How long have I known you?
It seems too self-centered.
How long have you known Rob? How long have you known John?
Oh, like 15 anybody. Years for most of you guys.
Mike, everybody. I mean, it's a rule.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no problem telling certain people uncomfortable things. I'm not sure what that's a reference to.
Ah, don't worry about it.
All right.
So it's next Saturday, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. A week from tomorrow. Hey, if anything, I thought it would give you more time, not less, so...
Were you hoping for presents on Tuesday?
What if we come in, though, and have the big dog and pony show? I wouldn't have let that happen.
What if Mike and I would have come in on Monday with your gifts?
I set the wheels in motion in what I felt was a less embarrassing way to get word to you in plenty of time.
And how did you do that?
I told John to tell Rob to tell you.
And it worked.
Hey, another valuable lesson for me, though. Open that email.
Yeah.
Because when I saw the heading, I had told Rob to remind me that it's Monday, and I assumed it was Monday.
I even put an exclamation point on it, the high priority.
You did kind of handle it. You did actually tell somebody.
You told, I guess,
the only person on the show that you trusted in any way.
No,
John.
He was the one person I wasn't embarrassed to say that to.
That's his buddy back there. Look at him grinning back there.
Buzz's butt buddy.
Well.
Okay. Well, Bob, your birthday is...
So Friday will be the big celebration.
A week from tomorrow.
But I need another email, if you don't mind. And I'm asking you now. And just
really?
You
can't just leave it in your inbox with the priority?
I could, yeah. I could.
Why don't you just print it out when you get home and, like, put it on your bulletin board?
Well, I hope I remember it. I really do. I'm going to try
it. Write it on your hand.
Not right now. It'll wash off. No, I won't wash by then.
Well,
what do you want?
I apologize.
You want anything special, or is cash king like usually?
Cash is fine. No, really, it doesn't matter. I'm happy.
I'm going to give you an early birthday present.
Yeah.
How about a little jewelry box with 6 or 7 T-shirts in it?
Nothing would make me happier.
All right, Buzz. Well. Sorry that I forgot when your birthday was.
It's no big deal. I knew we were going to get it straightened out, so I wasn't worried about it.
Okay. All right. There is everybody, Buzz. He's a very complicated person.
So we're going to do all the fun stuff, though, a week from Friday. A week from today.
Yeah. 1 week from today.
That's good.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's good. I'm glad we got that squared away. I somehow feel like I'm a little off the hook now.
Oh, you absolutely are.
Unless I screw up again and forget it. Because, I mean, the pressure's on me, you know. And, you know, I was thinking also right after I forgot your birthday, I was thinking about coming in the next day and saying, hey, because I forgot your birthday, you know, next June 22nd, when I'm 48.
God, that's early for a reminder.
I've got a problem throwing it right out there.
Okay, I'm back
in. The whore that he is.
I was going to say, you know, hey, because of that, because I forgot yours. Don't worry about anything on mine, but I changed my mind.
Yeah, you did. We do have to break now, so when we come back, we'll talk to our friend, Indeed. JB from CBS NFL Today, and we'll talk about this weekend's action.
He spent the morning at Redskins Park.
Hey, that's got to be a happy place.
Yeah, you got to know it.
Happy place. Excuse me.
Oh.
Yeah. You know what it is?
What?
Allergic to Snyder. We'll be back with JB.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Eddie, it's not to me. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want.
Why are you messing with your knee?
Hey, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dale. You gonna get a shot?
No, no shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you're the master of the technology of this game.
Yeah, how do you do that, man? Take all those pills and shots, man. It does terrible things to your body.
You last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that. The Don and Mike Show.
For your dog, but fit for human consumption. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, well, indeed. It's time for JB.
Hi.
A good friend, James Brown. Oh, you know, I'm so used to playing.
Yes.
You know, it,
the other music.
As it pull out the music, I'm so used to.
No.
That we now use that music.
New network music.
From the NFL Today on CBS. Here is a good friend of ours, James Brown. Hey, JB!
Fellas, I thought you guys would put me down.
No!
Absolutely not.
You have no idea how thrilled I am to hear from you guys. It's been a challenging few months, as you guys know, but it's wonderful to talk with you all again. I miss you beating up on me.
Well, JB, first let's start with... yeah, you know, JB's mom passed away. Not to start on a downer, but, you know, our thoughts, as they say, as jive as it sounds, and I hope you know this, that our thoughts were with you and are with you.
And, you know, and I know you guys meant that. Elizabeth, my assistant, made me aware of that, and I truly appreciate it, and heaven knows you've been through it, so, but
yeah.
I'm better now, but thank you so much. It's really nice to talk to friends again.
You got it, JB, and now I'm not blowing smoke. I used to be a huge fan of the Fox show. It is in my opinion, a huge mistake. They moved that show outside. They don't have the glue that is JB. And when I was telling Nancy, last Friday, it's true. I watch the CBS show now because of you, and that is no lie, JB.
Well, really, don't you think that the show has, he realized just how important he was to the Fox show, and I'm talking like you're not here, you're right here. Yeah, the fact is, I think you've really done the same thing with the new show because you just have it. It doesn't seem like you've missed a beat at all.
I know that my wife wants me to retire this line, but to hear that coming from you guys, I'm too dark to blush, but I appreciate it big time. I really mean that. And I got to be honest. I tell you, hey, Mike, last week when I was on the show, I was so close to saying indeed, and the name that came up in my head... Don, I'm like, don't give him any
evidence. You know, it's funny you bring that up, James.
JB, we have been taping. Now, I cannot find the disc.
Don, did I really?
Hold on. In the first 3 weeks.
No, I didn't.
JB, in the first 3 weeks, you had 10 indeeds. week number one. And we cut your slack on week number one because it was the first week on the show.
Okay.
Sure.
Right.
You had five.
Five in the first week?
Five indeed.
Okay.
And you know what I'm going to do? I may as well make the producer of the show aware.
Huh?
If I say that and I'm conscious of it, when I throw out the names of Don and Mike, they just have to understand that's my conscience
and
keeping me all in track. Oh, unbelievable.
Here's the other thing that you got to know. Here's the other bit of help I'll give you on this.
All right.
Like I say, some of these were alone,
okay.
But four of them came when you were either introing or outroing Randy Cross.
Oh.
I don't know if it's a thing with you and Randy Cross.
I might be subject for psychoanalysis there.
You know, I just saw Randy out at the Redskins Park. I just got back from doing a little bit out there today, and I'll have to let him know that I may have to skip over him next week just so that I can eliminate the indeeds of my conversation. That must be, and I'm glad you pointed that out, I don't like watching myself on tape, but it's important so that I can continue to get a nice groove going with my new guys, and if I hear that, it just grates me. But Don and Mike, you guys are so in my head, I thought I had eliminated it only because of you two.
No, they're there, but JB is, he's a Harvard man. He's you know, I mean, he's an Ivy League man.
Yes.
He's educated beyond everybody in this room,
all right?
For God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, him saying indeed is like one of us saying whatnot. So let's get a handle on that. Oh, now JB, the other thing about the new show on CBS that I found this is so queer to say to you. When you were talking to, I guess, Norman, Boomer Esiason, at one point you said, let's go to the Blonde Bomber. And
I like when you call him Norman.
Well, when we've had him on the show, that's his given name.
Yes, Norman Boomer Esiason.
Norman Esiason. When you refer to him as the Blonde Bomber, for a moment, now this is going to just sound queer as hell, I thought, Terry's the Blonde Bomber. the Blonde Bomber. But I guess that's because you are indeed comfortable with your new cast, right?
I am. I saw these guys, and actually, it does sound a little strange. I'm waiting for Terry Bradshaw, who, by the way, has been calling me each week since the season has started. And I'll try to share with you that which I can. But Terry called me, and he hasn't heard that I've called Boomer the Blonde Bomber, because I would also do the same. Although Phil Simms didn't really go down the field that much as Terry Bradshaw did.
Yeah.
But I saw the guys at the NFL seminar that CBS conducted during the preseason, and these guys were hilarious. They were having a good time, and I asked, why don't you guys do this on the air? Not to try to simulate or emulate Fox, but just be natural and comfortable. And he said, well, you know, we kind of do the show, this and that. Well, I said, fellas, trust me. America likes if they can feel comfortable listening to you guys as opposed to just making like it's War and Peace. And my whole aim is to understand what their strengths are and play to them and make them feel good. And Don and Mike, even if it means hitting me with the weight jokes, I don't care. Get loose, have fun. And that's what Dan Marino's been doing.
Now, logistically, are you enjoying doing the new show?
I am. Let me be honest, as I've said, and I'm being fair right down the middle here. Do I miss my guys at Fox? Heavens, 12 years on the air with those guys. They're the best of friends. Of course I do. And we had a wonderful synergy, a wonderful camaraderie that, you know, was second to none. But I am excited about the challenge of working with a new cast to be hopefully just an impetus to get them to be loose, because folks tune in to hear them, but they want to see some looseness and to have some fun. So I'm excited about the challenge to try to be as competitive against that formidable Fox show as we can.
Well, like I said, this is my humble opinion. What, JB is the... Oh, Rob just wrote me a note. You're denouncing the show.
you know, I always let you get on Nance about that. I stay away from that.
We asked him last week, how you feel? How you feel? Second guy now that's taking your spot. He's like, hey, guys, I'm calling the Super Bowl guys.
Yeah, that's how he got right to that. He knows where he stands. Absolutely.
And I know you guys have good fun with him, but Jim is one of the absolute best play-by-play guys in the business.
I really think
that plays to his strength, and he has a recall of arcane facts, if you will, that just blows my mind. That's not my strength.
I'll tell you where, maybe this will be some positive viewer feedback for you. When you mentioned that you want to bring out the best in these guys.
Okay.
You know, when he was a player, Dan Marino, when he did an interview or he did a commercial, the guy really, you might as well have been talking to a cardboard cutout. I mean, like those IsoTuner commercials were often. I find Dan Marino now.
He's come out of his
show.
To
be rather engaging. Shannon Sharp is always a big mouth. You love that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was never as big a big mouth as he is this year. And that's a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
And Norman is Norman. And,
right. And
it's a real good balance that you got there. I give you credit for bringing Marino out. He's the one that I've noticed when I would watch that show sometimes last year, just like he would sit there and go like,
I like Miami because I used to play there.
I mean, he really has come out of it and is speaking his mind now. And conversely,
when you got hired for the CBS show, where they actually, did they kind of indicate to you that they wanted to bring a little of that energy from the Fox show?
They absolutely said they wanted to have a little bit more levity and just to have the guys be more comfortable. And I hope I'm not divulging that. Which Dan would feel was a one-on-one conversation. But Don and Mike, honestly, I did tell Dan, I said, hey, Dan, I got to be honest. When I watched a few tapes, and I try not to watch too many tapes of the show because I didn't want to get into the mode of what they were doing before as opposed to hopefully bringing whatever it is that I can to the show to enhance it. I said, Dan, people, you're a Hall of Famer.
People want to hear what you have to say. Don't worry about being so proper and on it all the time. If you make a mistake, so what? That makes you human. There was one time where he butchered up a word, and he continued to tease himself about it. Genuinely, I said, Dan, you know what? To me as a viewer, that made you human. I enjoyed that because I'm saying, you know what? You can make a mistake and enjoy and have fun with it as much as anybody else. That's okay.
You know what I was going to say?
Go ahead. And this is very quick. You know what that is, though? That's broadcasting 101.
Right.
Loud and clear.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, one of the things I was going to say to JB is that when I watch a lot of the analysts, and there's so much coverage of the NFL, I think that a lot of these guys, especially the guys that are new to the broadcast booth, new to analysis, they get so obsessed with having their facts in a row, and they forget what a guy like your former colleague Terry Bradshaw does, where you're just out there, you know, really, it is entertainment, and you're out there having a good time. And I wish more of them, I'd like to see a lot more of that, where really, you know, for me, I'd love to see a little more cutting up on the set.
And you can disagree, you can have some fun, and the other thing is, and I made this cardinal sin a couple weeks ago when talking about the Redskins. If you don't know the answer, say you don't know. There's nothing wrong with that. And say, but you know what? I was in a similar situation, or in those that I've seen, here's what worked. But if you don't know, no harm in that, no crime in that. We move on.
Now, Elizabeth, before I ask you about that incredible campaign Subway has with you.
Hey, and by the way, I talk about my guy Bradshaw. You know he's loving anything. I'm on this 10-year diet, as you guys know.
Same diet as me.
Yeah, and he's talking about JB. You have the nerve to have a food. Are you doing a food commercial? Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Well, I was going to tell you, my girlfriend called me. She's out getting Subway subs the other night,
okay.
And she calls me from the store and she says, "I'm standing in line and I see a sign that says win a trip to the Super Bowl." And I'm like, yes. And she said, way down in the corner, she says, it's a picture of James Brown. I said, what does it say? And she says, it's got like a little comic book thing coming over his head. Where
a little bubble?
Yeah, and it says, hi, this is James Brown. Do you want to have dinner with me?
Oh,
so is that
something to look forward to at the Super Bowl, JB?
Well, you know what? Now, see, I'm supposed to have final editorial control over that. Didn't know that. My wife obviously would have had to have approved that. But let me just say this as well, too. And I know I'm going into this acknowledging it, and my pastor will have me into the office for a conversation after this.
Wow.
I'm prefacing the remarks that way, Don and Mike.
Okay.
it's true. I am not engaging in anything that's going to hopefully affect my Christian walk or trying to stumble somebody else. At the Fox Grill, they had the nerve to name sandwiches after each of the four of us on the show. They didn't run it by me.
No.
The one and only sandwich that they had named after me was JB's Little Wieners. Hey, Don and Mike, you think I enjoyed that?
Yeah. Wow.
Why do I think Terry had something to do with that?
Oh, he probably did. Well, they did change it after I pitched a fit about it. But yeah, sure. But speaking of Terry, as a matter of fact, and let me be very careful how I word this, too. You all saw the movie Failure to Launch.
Right.
Yeah, he was good at that.
Terry did a nice job. I was very happy about it for him. And he was talking about how this might improve his ability to maybe find a nice lady in his life.
Right.
And he says, I've got this scene coming up where I'm in my, you know, the room with my fish tank and I'm in my birthday suit. I'm like, Terry, why? And so we come on and, of course, we see the scene from him behind showing his gluteus maximus. Well, he tells me today that he's up for an Academy Award. And I said, what? He says, my gluteus maximus is up for an Academy Award. I said, for what? He says, in the category of special effects.
Oh, man, I tell you.
That boy's a piece of work.
I bet you do miss him a little bit.
Oh, and you know what? I do. And it serves me well that I talk to him once a week because he just flat out keeps me laughing.
That's nice, you guys and friends. Oh, and about your show this weekend, when you come on at 12 noon, 9 a.m. out west, how much overloading are we going to have on TO? Are you going to?
I hope not much.
Are they going to just cover it up front and then move past it, or is it going to be? Do you think that the producers are going to want you to do like 10 minutes on it.
No. They can't, because you know what? One of the first rules, as you guys know in journalism, if the story is that old, unless there's anything to advance the story, why rehash what already has been? And I did a little one-minute vignette on that the other day on Sporting News Radio, where I do something once a day on whatever the topic is. And honestly, fellas, I like T.O. As a person, I like him. He's a nice guy. He's a sensitive guy. I love the fact that, you know, his grandmother, his mom, and his sister, they are the hearts of his life, and he works to support them. That always will get my soft heart to bleed for him, big time. However, he brings a lot of this stuff on himself. It's a drama queen. I'm tired of hearing about all of this. There's more written and said about T.O. off the field than what he's done on the field. That, please, let's get beyond this. And to have raised what took place the other day without having checked all the facts out and raised it to the level of a national crisis was absolutely sickening to me. And a lot of that is the fault of those of us in the media that we would allow ourselves to be held hostage for a full day on a story. Know that we still don't know what the actual truth is. It's somewhere in the middle of everything that we've heard.
JB, if you didn't have a little weenie, you would open the show on Sunday
right?
with that diatribe you just gave us.
You know what? That's a good challenge. I appreciate you saying that.
I think
you see me coming on twiddling my thumbs, you know I got beat down big time.
I think people would like hearing that from you saying, hey, you know, the guys of Prima Donna were, and you're right about everybody being held hostage for an entire day wondering about this guy. So,
you know, the thing about T.O. that was, I heard a few people make a big deal about the fact, man, what's he taking that, you know, he only had a hand injury. I mean, the extent to which these guys play with pain week in, week out, a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, you're pretty close to it, but I mean, these guys, a lot of them, even, you know, if a guy is judged to be healthy going into Sunday, I mean, these guys are always hurting, aren't they?
Absolutely. I was about to say, other than kickers, you probably won't find a single football player who doesn't go into the game with something that will keep the average person at right. home for a day or a week.
Right.
And to that end, and I always look to be fair when talking about T.O., I just express my heart's desire in terms of not continuing to be spoon-fed and oversaturation in terms of the off-the-field drama. But as a person, if the guy needs help, heavens to Murgatroyd, get him some help. We owe that to him. And I am more concerned about the players as people first. Believe you me, no matter who they may be, I'm concerned about them first. Then get the guy some help so that we can, you know, move beyond the soap opera stuff. Because when he had the bad hamstring, Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers, Hines Ward of the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were suffering with hamstring injuries. And just as key a component to their teams as T.O. was hoping to be with the Dallas Cowboys. But every day it was about, oh, T.O. belched? How loud did he belch? Was it a rolling belch or was it a guttural belch?
Right.
Please.
Right, it's ridiculous.
See, there's that education coming through.
Yes.
Was it a guttural belch?
A guttural belch.
A rolling belch. Say good man. Was that a rolling belt
or a guttural belt? We've had both on this show.
I hear you, partner.
At different
right.
times.
JD, before we let you go, because I know you're very busy, would you mind picking three games?
Hey, you know what? I'm sure I struck out last year, but for the fun of it, let's go at it.
Okay, here we go. I think three best games this weekend. First, Ravens
Ooh.
And Chargers. We'll go Don, Mike, JB. I will take the Baltimore Ravens. Mike?
I'm going to go with the Ravens also. I kind of like the Ravens.
And I'm not doing this just because you guys did too as well. San Diego comes in with more offensive firepower, but an inexperienced signal caller. That Ravens defense is stout. Ray Lewis and Bart Scott are playing lights out. Ravens at home, absolutely.
All right, what about in the NFC? Bears, Seahawks. I'll take the Chicago Bears at home.
I like the Seahawks. I think they're looking good even without... is he going to play? Is Sean Alexander going
to
play?
All right. Sean wants to play. He tried to push Mike Holmgren to let him play, but they would be risking his career if he did. And I think that team is hurting, missing Steve Hutchinson, their all-pro left guard, which is why Sean Alexander was averaging only about 60 yards per game. And they're playing against a Bears team that's got a defense that's just as nasty as Baltimore. I'm going with the Chicago Bears. And Rex Grossman showing some degree of consistency now.
And finally, I know you're at Redskins Park today for everybody here in D.C. Let's do the Jags and the Redskins. Not because of my hatred for Daniel Snyder, but really, Jags. I'm breaking the rule about talking. I'm almost considering starting Byron Leftwich this week over Matt Hasselbeck because I think he's going to kill the Redskins. I'm going to take Jacksonville. Mike.
Oh, boy. You know, I think if they're going to have any kind of season at all, this is the game the Redskins have to win. And I really think if they're going to salvage anything, they've got to win this game. This is more important than even last week. I know last week was a pressure game, but I think maybe Joe Gibbs can get them motivated to beat Jacksonville, so I'm going to go with the Redskins.
Hey, fellas, I'm a native Washingtonian. I'm a homer. Joe Gibbs and I, we're both in the classic cars. We spent time talking about that today out of Redskins Park. But I've got to be honest, if I put my thinking cap on, my heart says Redskins, but my head says absolutely Jacksonville. That defense is number 3 in the league, I believe it is. They're just as tough against the run and the pass. Byron Leftwich, I think, is one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, and he's still trying to win the faithful over down there in Jacksonville. I go with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. Well, now, what if you were native, and I got Hasselbeck, who's going to play against the Bears, and they don't have Sean Alexander, so they're going to have to throw a lot, but the Bears have a great defense. On the other hand, you got Byron Leftwich, and I think the Redskins' secondary is banged up, and I can see him throwing for 300 yards and like 4 touchdowns. Who would you start, JB, off the top of your head?
You know what? I probably would go with Leftwich as well, too, because the Skins are still hurting. Sean Springs is a major absence, a major void with him not being there for the Redskins in the secondary. I know in talking with Antoine Randall L. out at the park today, I asked him, and he wasn't just playing politics, who's the toughest cornerback that he's have to go against? And he says, you know what? Sean Springs can flat out play some D. So, yeah, and the Redskins are hurting back there. I go with Byron Leftwich. Byron is coming home, still trying to win the faithful over down there in Jacksonville, many of whom think that maybe David Garrard, the backup, is the guy for the future. Byron, if you talk to any of the football purists and those around the league, they like this guy, his leadership skills, his toughness. He's a linebacker in a quarterback's body. I like Byron Leftwich.
Amen. All right, JB, wow, we kept you longer than what he said.
No, go ahead.
No. About, if we could talk about Fox again and CBS.
Yep.
No more football stuff. Fox and CBS. I'll just ask you. Did you want out of Fox, or did CBS come to you with an offer that you couldn't refuse, or was your contract up, and did you play it as a free agent,
and can you talk about any of it?
I think to be fair, knowing that a lot of that was behind-the-door stuff, suffice it to say, I was not looking to leave Fox at all. I had expected to wind up my career there. Ah. I understand how negotiations go, and to their credit, at the end, there was an all-out rush and push to try to make it happen. But by that point in time, another player had come into
the
picture.
Understood, JB. Understood.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah.
Well, okay, thank you for solving that for me.
You know what? It's turned out well because Sean McManus and Tony Petitti, the leaders over there, I like them a lot. David Hill's one of the smartest guys I've ever worked with before, the head over at Fox. Sean McManus and Tony Petitti, straight up guys, professionals, thorough. And you know what, fellas? At this point in my career, I'm excited about the challenge that this affords me. So for any number of reasons, and after I prayed on it, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, I had a peace about the decision because I was leaving a comfortable, familiar territory. There's a book out called The Dream Giver that really spoke to where I was. I was comfortable and familiar with where I was. This represented something new and challenging. And I'm thankful that I've been blessed with this opportunity. It's a challenge, but I welcome the opportunity, and I think it's going to work out okay. And as, I guess to kind of close up my segment the way we started, Don and Mike, you talked about my mom. A lot of my mom was in that decision in that I was certainly looking forward to being East Coast-based to be able to spend some meaningful time with her while she was battling the ravages of diabetes. But it didn't turn out that way, but at least I know where she is, and God bless her. I'm happy about that.
All right. Well, I think you made the right decision all the way around, JB, and you got to know there. You're too nice a guy and too God-fearing a man to say it, but they are just... At Fox, they got to just be walking around with kick me signs.
Just to walk in and hitting their heads in the center block walls.
No offense, because I know that you'll say those are all great guys. That's a piece of crap show now.
there he goes.
You know what? It's a traveling, it's like a DJ doing a remote somewhere.
Can I tell you, the same way I started the show off, I missed talking to you two, and I'm so glad. Hey, and you know what? Even though I can't say it, I love the way you guys.
And furthermore, I watched it at the beginning. And I watched both shows the first week, right?
5 minutes away from the screen, right?
So, yeah, and on
5 inches
on the Fox show when they're going to be starting this whole new thing. All it really was 5 minutes of Hey, JB's not here anymore. Yeah, we really miss JB. JB's
right.
a great guy. JB's moved on. JB's not here anymore. I know you're looking for JB. JB's not here anymore. And Caliendo's piece.
Yeah.
What was about
it? Was JB?
Yeah. What was JB going into the old studio going, you know, where is everybody?
So, yeah, I did see that. And I was really touched. And even by Joe Buck's opening, because Joe Buck is one of the consummate play-by-play men. The guy is very bright. He's very quick. And he's a dear friend. And you know what? I mean this from the bottom of my heart, just like athletes. I don't wish them any ill at all, and I don't hold anything against those guys. With Christ as my witness, I hold nothing against them. You know what? This is all going to work out well for both, and that's the bottom line, and I'm fine with it. I harbor no ill feelings. You know, 12 years there, I gave them my best to make certain that I could deliver to help those guys to shine, and now I'm looking to do the same thing here, and it's all good, and I'm so happy that Don and Mike talked to me. Even if I hang up and they talk about me,
you know what
they do. I love those guys.
JB, I can tell you, it is always a pleasure to have you on this show, indeed.
When you bring the J-Man up, you know, okay. When you bring Jesus up, and I'll tell you something about that. Now, hold on. Jesus loves a winner, and you're a winner, so don't feel bad about making the move that you made.
I love it when you preach. I really do.
I'm serious. Jesus says, don't be afraid of success.
You know what? Terry Bradshaw asked me to speak at his church about 4 weeks ago. Terry Bradshaw in church. That will be the subject of another conversation. Hey, Don and Mike, do ask me about that one, because I did speak at his church down in Texas. I was the only licorice stick there, as he made me aware. But I told him, God loves everybody. So you guys make sure you talk to me about that one.
Thanks, right, JB.
Take care, fellas.
All right, bye-bye. I was the only licorice stick there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, is that surreal? You picture JB walking into Terry Bradshaw's church. I'd love to see that. I really would.
Now, okay, what would I not say with JB on the telephone?
Yeah, what?
They're effed up at Fox.
Oh, they are.
Yes. If you got,
I mean, you're a super fan, but I mean, I watch it and it's just horrible.
If you got Terry Bradshaw still at this point calling JB,
yeah,
every week. I mean,
yeah,
I understand they're friends,
yeah, sure,
but at this point they are also competitors,
right?
And if he's calling him up and telling
you know something's not right, and like, what it is, it's not right with that set that you talked about where they're going from stadium to stadium.
Yeah, because they put him in a plexiglass coffin like they put GIF in
right
towards the end of Monday Night Football, and they're out there. And for instance, if they're in Seattle, well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm,
and the game doesn't start until 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
So you've got maybe 25 people. It looks like a DJ doing a remote somewhere.
And you know, I love Joe Buck. I really do. I agree with JB that I think Joe Buck is one of the best in the business. But don't you think you need to have somebody that's going to just be somebody for Terry to bounce off of? Don't you think that that's what that show needs? But I mean, that chemistry, I wouldn't have thought that when JB left. But you do need it. I mean, he was the anchor guy. He was almost the straight man, and you didn't realize that he was that integral part of that show, and then he went over to CBS, and you see the Fox show without him, and they're hurting. They are hurting.
Dan Marino might as well have been Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I saw him on TV prior to this, I'd be like, me like him.
I'm glad they loosened them up a little bit.
Yeah,
I really am.
It's either JB or Nutrisystems.
Both.
If you want to eat like a man, please.
He lost 20 pounds.
He's playing weight.
He is.
Well, JB is one of the really, really good guys, and we really do love him. So, thanks, JB, for the update.
And a God-fearing man who comes on this radio program. I think that's important to point out, too.
How about that?
Well, a few.
How about that?
Okay, for all those people that listen to us in the Bible Belt that have problems sometimes, just remember that. He's a God-fearing guy, comes on this show anyway.
Remember what Jesus says, don't be afraid of success. Jesus loves you and your little wiener. Baby's little wiener.
A good man.
Jesus loves you, you licorice stick. Licorice stick and the blonde dick.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hallelujah, glory be.
And if you are listening, JB, I challenge you on Sunday, start off. They get into your whole preacher mode. Start off the show on Sunday.
He's got some serious opinions about T.O.
Yeah.
And all of that type of thing in the NFL. And I'd love to hear him talk about it.
People would love to hear that.
Sure. Yep.
And the Randy Cross thing. I wouldn't say this with his face either.
Right.
I don't blame JB for falling back on a verbal crutch. I mean, have you seen Randy Cross?
Yeah. Randy Cross, it's like Pac-Man. With those teeth.
Seriously.
Big, gigantic piano keys, man.
I've always thought you could actually, now he's older, isn't he got like all gray hair now?
Yeah.
But when he was younger, when he was just starting out in the broadcast booth, he had that jet black hair, those big white choppers they had. You could cast him as like the snobby athlete, you know.
How you doing?
You got a punk boy. Hold on, punk boy. You're not coming with us. You know, he'd have the sweater tied around his shoulders. He'd be in the fraternity that everybody hated. That's exactly what I think of that guy.
And that's why I think that JB is having an allergic reaction,
yeah,
as you and I have in the past to Randy Cross, even though he's just talking to him on a video screen.
Indeed. Indeed.
All right, thank you, JB. We got to break, and we will be back in the same time we're always back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show. Get ready for some hot fun. Wednesday, October 18th, the Don and Mike Reno Style Show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Pike. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, youthful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, bodacious Bud, red hot Rock, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because of you, this place isn't a sweatshop anymore. Just a place where people work on reasonable hours for low pay.
The Don and Mike Show.
You got that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Look out now.
Look out now. Look out.
Okay.
Let's bring the big love for the Don and Mike Show.
I play this for you, friend Miguel.
You know what? And you keep the memory of the late, great Jack Lemmon alive by playing that tape, one of our favorites.
I'm laughing every time I hear that.
That's two for you, Mike. Do you like Mike and the Mechanics? And you like
Mike and the Mechanics.
Yeah, look out.
Whoa, look out. Look out.
Look out. Look out. Whoa. Oh, for God's sake.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
But you know, Dee, that's not my favorite Mike and the Mechanics song.
We had a general manager, Alan Goodman, one time when that song, The Living Years, came out.
Oh, my God.
I think it's past the statute of limitations. We can mention that Al, Big Al, your radio pal, used to like to party.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And
just enjoy himself.
You know, he'd be there sometimes at 5 a.m. and we showed up for work.
He'd still be there, yes, Rob. He'd still be there.
Been working all night.
Long he night. Might have rested in his office briefly.
Pulled him all night. And we would be, one time we were playing that song and he was in an altered state.
Huh.
And during the record, started to tell us about how.
Oh, yes.
It, the song The Living Year is about.
Reminded him of his father, and,
yes.
And he was very emotional, and, yes. You know, he wanted to run around and hug everybody after, and all we were doing was playing the record. Mm-hmm. And Alan was very moved by that. He considered it to be his favorite song of all time.
He got very emotional when he would get high. Do you remember when we went to Minneapolis?
Right.
One time we went to Minneapolis to film a commercial. Shock, it was really just a chance for us to party with Alan and Dad. It was a nice weekend we had together. As we were in the car being driven from the airport to the place we were going to film this TV commercial.
It was really one of your early, really early expressions of complete honesty. Where you cracked me up so much because he was going on. He was from there. He lived there for
yeah,
a period
and
of
you
time.
You combine that with any number of substances.
Yes.
And he was from the moment we got up to play, he's like, this is where I grew up. I can't believe this. I want to take you guys to the fishing hole where I went fishing with my dad.
He was very, very excited.
And we were on some freeway going somewhere.
Coming off an exit ramp, I think.
Yeah, and he said,
If you take a left here, this will take you right down to my favorite fishing spot. I just want to show this to you. And you, I think, just said, no, Al, Jesus Christ, no.
No.
And we just started cracking up.
No.
Because we listened all the way from the airport, and when we got to the exit ramp, it's like, I don't want to go to your fishing hole.
He's like, no.
T.M. You don't want to come to my fishing hole.
No, Alan, no.
No, I want to go to my hotel, I think is what you said. It was so funny because he was going on and on like it was the greatest thing in the world. This is the greatest city. I love Minneapolis. This is so much fun. Well, go to my fishing hole. Said, no. You don't want to go to your stupid fishing hole.
He was another guy that had five or six cities.
Yeah.
Whenever you would travel to somebody, you'd be like, oh, I feel... Do you remember we went to New York to go to that World Series game?
And oh, said, my God.
I'm home, guys.
Yeah.
New York.
Right. This,
and then one time, we were in Denver, and he goes, oh, Denver's home to me. my twin brother lives out here. We had so many good... D.M. There is no city like Denver, Colorado.
Do you remember the time we went to his son's bar mitzvah?
Do
and,
I?
And we
that's the greatest bar mitzvah I've ever been to in my life, I swear to God.
And that was the moment that
he must have spent $50,000, and this was 20 years ago.
Yeah, man, I'm standing up at the bar, and Alan Goodman comes up and stands next to me. And I said, Big Al, what's happening? And the guy turns around, and it was Alan's twin brother.
And I mean...
And I was scared.
Not
really.
I mean...
Like an omen. Like I'd seen something out of The Exorcist.
Identical twins.
Wow.
Little, bald, Jewish men.
With beards.
Same mole.
David,
right.
Same mole.
David.
Yes, David Goodman. Same mole, same place on their head.
Yeah, and
we later shamed Alan into having that burned off.
It was scary. I mean, because they were so similar, but not, you know how twins are? You know, and it was bizarro. And he was standing next to me, and it frightened me. Actually frightened me.
Because we had been used to Alan.
Right.
And they see, you see someone who looks just like him. We're like, hey, what's happening? And even though he had a similar voice, it was obvious that he was, well, nothing like his brother. Who
somebody
we
else. I'm trying to think of the differences. He was more controlled.
Also, he was...
He was mellower. He was a little mellower
than
him. And
he also, even though he had that heavy New York thing...
Right,
he also,
hello, yes.
He also was more refined than Alan.
A little bit more refined.
You gentlemen, perhaps later this evening we could get together. We could acquire something that you're looking for.
What a pleasure nice seeing you. Very nice seeing you. Very nice pleasure. Meanwhile, Alan's over there going, all right, yeah. Uh-huh. Have a great time, all you guys.
Mi casa is su casa.
T.M.
I love New York. I'm back at home.
He was the definitive one. He was, you know, really, if we only knew at the time, that he was going to be the only one that you know, we hated him like we hated all GMs, but we loved the guy because the guy was such a character, and yeah, little did we know that we would never see another one like him.
He'd be the best.
Yep.
That
he was really the best. Wouldn't we have been? No, we wouldn't have behaved differently.
No, we would not.
We would have behaved exactly.
No, he deserved everything we gave him.
Yeah. He was the one we ended up liking the most and probably the one we were the meanest to.
Oh.
I mean, like, behind the scenes meanest to.
Well, you know.
You know.
Biz is biz.
Biz is biz.
I mean,
it was a growth time for us with the show.
Business is biz.
We had to do what we had to do.
I don't know if we want to discuss that.
No, we don't. We don't want to discuss
that. That's not one of my proudest memories.
Right, no. But we were bad boys sometimes. But, I mean, you know, he was P.T. Barnum. He was a guy that really cared about... what he cared about was everybody there knowing that he was the boss, which was enough ego. And you know what? Maybe that is part of the problem. I think when these guys started going south is when they lost the ego. You had to have a guy that wanted to be the boss man.
And
you know, I will give Mel Karmazan a credit with that. He, you know, you damn well know when he walks into a room that he is the man.
And just so you know, what we did to Al was nothing...
nothing evil. Really.
Not really. Nothing personal.
It right.
Was,
oh, of
was,
course.
It was... no, and what I mean by that is it was not like us defacing something.
No, no.
Or doing something to a piece of property. We only went behind his back, the president of the company.
Yeah, we just sold him out to his boss.
Well,
sometimes you have to do that.
I mean, let's face it. Al's the general manager. What do they all do? They lie. And after a while, in whatever situation it was that we were going through, I finally said to Mike, you know, hey, he's lying to us. You know, let's go to Bungarten and just unload it on him. And...
It was Doyle.
Doyle Rose, I'm sorry. Yeah. Randy Baumgarten is the guy they brought in.
He's the guy that came
afterwards.
In. He's the guy they came in to liquidate the station. He's the guy that, he was the great Satan who came in after the fact.
He's the Terminator.
He had a staff meeting with everyone saying, hey, you know, they're not going to change the format. Nothing's going to change 2 weeks later. You know, they sold it to a Christian broadcasting company.
And as I recall, now, okay, I'll just give you the Cliff Notes version of this thing with Alan Goodman. As I recall what happened.
I don't remember what the reason was.
I know what it was. It was a contract negotiation, and it was that thing with, like, guys, there's nothing else I can do. My hands are tied. I'm not lying to you. There's no more money. Meanwhile, they're making money hand over fist. So what we did was we went over his head. We had a secret lunch with this guy, Doyle Rose, where we said, you know, Alan is screwing us over. And in the midst of that, we also said, like, you know, hey, the station's going down the hill.
Right.
We're playing stupid disco music when nobody likes disco music. You're yelling at us about playing records. 2 days later, now, we did not plan on this happening.
Yeah.
2 days later, now, it may have been coincidence. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, we get done with our show, and Goodman comes out and says, will you step into my office?
Yeah.
Now, we don't know what's coming, right?
Yeah.
We go in there, he says, I just talked to Doyle, and they're letting me go.
Oh.
Mike and I are sitting there going,
We felt horrible.
Yeah.
We never told them.
I don't think, you know, we would never have enough information to know whether we were responsible
for that, or whether
we played a small or a large part in that.
I believe we were simply the straw.
Yeah, there was a lot of crap going on.
That broke the camel's back. We didn't have that kind of power.
They weren't letting him run that station the way he had in the past, and it was just a... our bitching came at a very, very bad time for our guilt factor. Like, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. So we're sitting there with him, and the guy, you know, he's like, oh, it's been a good run, D&M.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, we're looking him in the eye going, we had lunch. I mean, we didn't say this to him, but I'm looking at Michael.
Oh, we felt so guilty.
We had lunch with Doyle Rose 2 days ago.
Right.
Tell him what a jerk you are.
Yeah. And we were thinking that really, when we had that meeting, we didn't think anything would happen.
No,
we had no idea anything would happen.
Yeah.
And as you said, I think it was the last straw. I think there was something else going on there. But
yeah, well, I was a bit of a rebel. I mean,
if we only knew.
When they took his budgets away and they started screwing with stuff, he started screaming about stuff. And as it turns out, he more or less was telling the truth that the company didn't have any more money to pay because, as it turns out, they were going to sell the radio station anyway in 90 days.
And you know what, really? That was right around the time where they were all doing that, yeah. And it was the changing of the guard in radio. Alan Goodman was the guy, when I first went to work at that radio station, when I met Al, it was just, I really felt like in a really small little way, it was show business.
Yeah.
It was show business, and he was like this movie producer kind of guy, and he did stuff like that all the time. He did insane things. He had lots of get-togethers. You had to fraternize with your coworkers. You had to, because that he almost insisted on it, and you don't have that anymore. It doesn't exist.
But you made it up to him. You did a whole show about his leaving. You paraded him through the streets and everything. You made a big deal of it.
You remember better than we did. Dude.
I don't remember that.
You were just a listener back then.
I think I still have that show on cassette.
Wow.
It was a good one.
Well, then Mike and I are truly master actors because behind the scenes...
You made a huge deal of it.
We were, of course. Why do you think we were guilt? We were ridden with guilt.
Racked with guilt.
I mean...
We got our comeuppance because when, you know, they replaced him with Randy Baumgarten,
they replaced him with the guy who
was Satan, really. The ultimate... Oh, the most duplicitous son of a bitch you'd ever meet in your life.
Randy Bungarten's only job was, first off, to get rid of us.
Yeah.
To find a way...
And liquidate radio stations. And really, I mean, get people out of there.
When you're talking about 105 WAVA, this was 15 years ago. At the time, it was a great station. They brought Baumgarten in because they decided they were going to sell the station. First thing he had to do was get rid of Mike and I in our contract. And then after that, they had about 30 days and they told everybody, don't worry about everything.
Hmm.
This is going to be a station you're going to love to work at. And not only did they sell it, they sold it to Christians.
Well, they did that. They didn't get rid of us. He came in and strung us along.
Do you think they prayed on that, like J.B. prayed on that?
I bet they did. But remember when we sat down with the Christian broadcasters who were saying to us they were going to keep us on?
Yeah.
And we kind of really, there was no direction. Nobody was giving us any clues. We didn't have any intel. Didn't have any inside information. We just decided it was really best if we didn't show up for work. And that was a very, very tough time for us. It was very, very, because it was a very very precarious situation.
Yeah, big, so anyway, Big Al got blown out.
They brought the other guy in.
And then he blew us out. And,
and then we ended up here.
and we prayed on it, like JB. And, you know, now that I've thought about it, when JB mentioned that, I wonder if when he prayed on it, if Jesus came to him. Because the way that JB was explaining that situation.
Right.
And I'm just going to take what he said and give you my thoughts. Sounds to me like his contract was up at Fox. JB had some issues that he wanted to be close to the East Coast because his mom was in failing health.
Right. Right.
And maybe he wanted some more bucks. They said to him, hey, guess what? We're Fox.
Right.
You are not as big as the show. It is the show. Go find yourself another job.
We've had an occasional chat with Fox management.
So he went out and he found another job at CBS. And then it sounds like at the last minute, Fox realized
they panicked.
Uh-oh. Jesus Christ, he really is important. We got to get him back.
And anybody watching the show this year will know why they panicked.
And they called him up, and it was at that point that he prayed on it, and Jesus said, tell him to go scratch your left nut. Yeah. Jesus said, just tell him to...
Is that what he said?
Here's what Jesus said.
This is, you know, really, in a way, this is how the Bible was written.
JB was...
Stories being passed down to other people.
Now,
other people's interpretations of the stories.
I'm going to be James Brown for a second. Mm-hmm. Indeed, Jesus. Jesus, what should I do with Fox? What should I tell Fox?
You can suck this.
That's the voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then there's clarity right there.
Jesus.
Amen.
What?
Jesus has an accent.
What? Sounds like he's from Texas.
Yeah. I'm leaving you, found another woman, and oh, by the way, I never really loved you anyway.
What's he talking to, Mary?
No, that's the Fox advice that you're getting.
I thought this is Jesus.
Oh.
Are you a prostitute?
He's talking to Mary Magdalene.
You just don't value yourself. You're trading sex for alcohol and cigarettes.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Philip McGraw. Last night on TV, I don't watch Survivor, but I got a call from Bobo, who said, are you watching Survivor? And I'm like, no. And Rob was really pissed. It sounded like from Buzz's tone of voice, he was really pissed as well.
No.
I'll tell you why.
Yes, you were.
Come on. Yeah, I'm just going to turn your microphone off now. Really, Buzz.
Okay.
I mean, step up and say it's your birthday, and if you were disappointed by Survivor, say it.
I don't watch Survivor. I was not surprised that they took this turn.
Oh, okay.
I was mad enough for the both of us.
Well, Rob...
My girlfriend watches Survivor. I don't watch Survivor.
I thought you were mad, Buzz. My apologies. You were mad.
I prayed on it.
So the whole thing is that they're going to have, you know, whites against blacks, against Latinos, against Orientals. Okay? Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Asians.
The race war.
Right.
Got a lot of publicity.
Well, I got a call from Rob last night. You watching Survivor? I'm like, duh. No, and he says, I'm so pissed. 2 weeks, whites versus blacks versus Asians. After 2 weeks, all the tribes are merged.
Yeah, so which now, somebody said they were going to do.
So now there's no more
it was
white.
All BS.
There's no more white versus black. They
so
got,
this was really a publicity stunt to garner ratings.
Yeah. And while they did get the publicity, the ratings ain't that good.
Yeah, I don't think it's good. Well, you know, I don't think everybody. It was not. I think they actually hit too early with it. I think if they had waited a little while, like when it started, maybe a week or two before, it would have been better for the show. But I think the show it's got a shelf life. I think the show's going to run its course.
He was mad last night. Two showbiz notes. One of them is the reason that Bart called me before the show today. He likes trying to scoop me on current pop culture events.
Right.
The call was, hey, Pops, I got some breaking news for you. I'm like, yes. He says, they've decided who's going to play Iron Man in the movie.
Is that a comic book character?
Yeah. And I was able to say, ha-ha, gotcha, already know. They have chosen Robert Downey Jr.
Wow.
And I think he's going to be an outstanding Iron Man.
He's good. Is Iron Man a drug addict?
Iron Man is a recovering alcoholic.
Ah. Perfect.
Now, in the first movie, going on the assumption that there would be more than one Iron Man movie, when I was looking online today on nerd.com...
Would you do me a favor before you go on?
Yeah.
Would you, just for those of us that are not comic book people, will you just a brief explanation of what Iron Man is, what kind of superhero he is?
He carries around his suit in a briefcase. It is a suit of...
See, this to me is worth it right now.
It is a... I cannot say I'm an Iron Man aficionado or expert.
Right. He carries like his iron suit?
Yeah. He carries it in a briefcase, as I remember from the comic books. I'm sure some nerds will call. And it's I don't know. He's got some power. He does something. It's like bullets bounce off him. And
so he's wearing an iron suit.
He's a businessman or an architect.
Tony Stark is his name. I don't know why I remember.
You know,
that.
Hearing you two guys talk about this, I think they maybe have gone to the comic book well one too many times.
He can fly. He can shoot.
But he can fly. Oh, hold on. He can fly.
Oh, he can fly.
He has rockets that come out of the heels of his shoes.
Oh, cool.
You might think this, but he's not a dry cleaner.
What?
I don't know what the hell he's saying. I'm trying to get some information over here.
Plus, your microphone will be turned up today.
Rob, did you ever hear of Kong?
There you go. That's
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world.
All right. All right. So I'm going to go on the record as I approve of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, even though in the first year. The first movie, they're not going to make him an Alki.
You did not approve of the last one, Ben Affleck as...
Daredevil.
Daredevil, right?
Did not.
You didn't like that
did
one.
Not, but Ben Affleck was really good in Hollywoodland, where he played George Reeves.
Who was another superhero.
The Superman that offed himself.
Yeah.
Mike also, I just wanted to mention the very sad news. Sad news.
Really?
Tony Danza, who we've had on the show.
Great guy.
We like Tony Danza.
Good guy. We mocked him a little bit, and we had fun with him.
He's getting divorced.
Oh, no.
20 years.
I got to call him.
20 years. Well, here's why I mention it.
Why?
According to all of the newspapers.
I know it's coming. I don't even have to see it on the print.
The reason that they're breaking up?
Yes.
Can you guess?
He's found a younger girlfriend?
Negative.
No.
I'll give you another. Take another shot. These are in the documents about why he's getting divorced.
He's gay.
Nope.
He's an abuser.
Ooh,
good guess, though. He stays out too late.
No, and it's not even something like irreconcilable differences.
You got me. You see, now I hear all the predictable ones are gone.
It was the pressure of having his TV show canceled.
Oh, no.
Swear to God.
Wow.
Swear to God.
Man. Oh, that's me.
The court documents say Tony Danza has come through with an actual cause for divorce. The pressure of his Tony Danza show, which was canceled in May after 2 years on the air.
He tried so hard. And I love that show. I loved it when he'd make his red sauce. I love it when he'd make the gravy for the macaronis.
I like it when he make his white sauce.
Maybe he would have done better.
I like making my own white sauce.
He had a strange little show. Did you ever look in on the Tony Danza show?
Never.
I watched it a couple of times. Yeah, he'd do a little show busy stuff, and then he'd get a little political at the end. It was he'd have a little cooking segment.
Hard to believe.
He'd have a real like sea level guest.
Renaissance man.
Hard to believe that show got canceled. Mm-hmm. Well, that brug of a marriage.
Yeah.
And Mike, on our website today at DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Yes.
We have a picture of this cat right here. This is a mugshot.
Is that Imus?
This is Imus' younger, better looking brother.
Yeah.
The deal is that the cops got this guy in Oklahoma City. There's your copy of the
picture. He's got to be a perv.
Okay. No, he's not.
No.
No, he's not. He's a druggie.
Okay.
He likes crystal meth. He's a dealer and he's a user. And he got pulled over for speeding or something. And the cops got him to unscrew his leg because he has a prosthetic leg. And the inside of his leg was hollowed out and full of crystal meth.
Did you know that Surf had an artificial leg?
Which he was going to sell. I see the picture.
Hi, this is Surf.
No.
Just kidding, Surf. I love you. He's on right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He's not hearing me.
Can't hear
him. There he is.
The cops took his leg, flipped it over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And ounces of crystal meth fell out.
Like what a great way to smuggle stuff.
Yeah. We've got that guy's picture up on our website today at the Dynamite website.
Do you seriously? I mean, you know, with crystal meth, they talk a lot about how that really, more than any other drug, destroys your body.
Oh, yeah.
How old do you think this guy is by looking at the picture? I'd love to know how old he really is because he looks like he's 70 years old.
I'd say he's in his 50s.
Probably in his 50s. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what that drug does.
And that drug, maybe even younger, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
50.
50?
50.
Hold on.
Where is the goddamn story?
Do we actually, would his age be? Okay, we got it?
We're going to find out.
He's tall.
Up. 64-year-old Larry Harper.
Okay, he looks 64.
Well, 64, that's all right. Will you still need me?
Nice head of hair.
Still feed me?
Well, I'm 64.
So, So I'm sorry. I have my apologies to Sir. Younger than Sir. Sorry. Sorry about that.
Okay, let's open up the phone line. At 877-365-3636. We're going to devote a break to something we've not done in a while.
Right.
See if anybody's up for this today. A segment that we used to call Naked Cruelty.
You've renamed it.
Naked Honest.
Naked like, Honesty.
Naked Honesty.
You're here to help people.
Yes. If there's a call that you are too shy to make, and I'll use a very pedestrian example. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Let's say that a co-worker, a friend of yours,
yes.
Screwed up your birthday. Told everybody that your birthday was the day when it actually was not.
That's a good example.
Well, you would want to call this guy up and you want to say, hey, jackass, you know, my birthday is not Saturday. My birthday is not Monday. My birthday is Saturday.
I didn't want to make that call.
You jackass.
Right.
Now, that would be the low end of the scale.
Low end. It varies calls. From things like, you know, hey, you know, I know you've been hanging around with me. You're a buddy of mine. But, you know, I really have to tell you, everybody says this. You smell offensive.
I'm really willing to say the cruelest thing that you really want to say, excuse me, the most honest thing.
That's right.
You want to say to somebody. And if we call the person and we're able to contact them, and we do get a message that's good enough and airworthy, we'll give that person $250.
I remember our last winner when you called and said, Mr. Danza, your show has been canceled.
Yeah, he was the one that did that. It was nakedly honest.
It was.
So if you want to play the game, you can call 877-365-3636 right now. And what we'll do is we'll come back from the break and we'll see if there's anybody out there that's got a call that's worthwhile. And you know, again, without throwing out stuff that people will be making up then and
mocking, mimicking it just to get on the air.
And having your crap detector go off. I mean, there is a guy on my street. God as my witness. I prayed on this before I told you this.
Good.
I am not kidding. When I see this guy, and now that I walk the dog, I've seen him 5 mornings in a row. This guy's breath smells like my ass.
Yeah.
There is no way to tell him that his breath smells like a cancer.
Wow. Whoa. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that is naked honesty.
That's poetic.
Well, you're cutting through all the other stuff by saying that. That's a real nice way of expressing somebody's got bad breath.
Well, that's what I would tell him. I myself don't have the nerve. I live on the street with the fellow.
Call you and have you call the guy and say, hey, listen. If you're going to chat in the morning, you know, maybe it's just some sort of lozenge.
I would mention about the diaper.
Does he have cancer?
No.
Oh, well, then that's no excuse.
You hate that, don't you?
I hate cancer.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah, Rob doesn't like cancer.
Yeah. Right.
Rob likes everything else.
He does everything.
So, everything and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Bring him on.
He prays on it.
I do. I pray on cancer.
So why don't you pray on this bit, everybody, and give us a call at 877-365-3636. We'll come back and we'll see if there is anything worthwhile out there. Okay, we'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
I evaluate the player based on performance and physical conditioning. That's what my job is. I don't have the expertise to do anything in any other area, and to intimate that I do would be wrong. And I'm just really glad that the player seems to be okay, and I'm ready to talk about Tennessee if anybody would like to. If not, I'll retire again today early.
The Don and Mike Show.
Whoa!
Christ. What is that even doing in this room?
We might need it if we do a story on pedophilia.
Hold on a second. I have the wrong disc out.
That was a strange rejoinder song.
That was
very strange so.
Michael Jackson, yuck.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right. I know this. Backfield in motion.
Backfield in motion.
Now and till. Now that's better than Michael Jackson.
Put up like a great big bowl of okay. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, folks are standing by now for Naked Cruelty, Naked Honesty.
Yes.
I promise we will get to those calls. Let's do it. I got a message from my housekeeper, but I just have to play for you because it's a perfect example of the language barrier.
Ah, I'd love to hear that.
In this country.
These are the gypsies?
Yeah.
Okay?
The Tramps?
Yeah.
The thieves.
Okay, hold on. I promise we'll get right to Naked Cruelty.
Little issue at the homestead?
That's right, isn't it? Welcome to Verizon.
I don't know if Mexican works. I think they're like Guatemala.
Press star. Okay, otherwise, please redial. Please enter a mailbox number.
All right.
Please enter your passcode. Or...
So much to do to retrieve messages.
One. New message.
Now, listen to
one.
This.
Saved message.
Now, listen to this and tell me if you can understand.
Main menu.
You can understand.
To review
here you
your
go.
Message.
Here we go.
First. Yes,
today.
Message.
This afternoon.
Hi, Mr. Mike. This is me again. In the living room, something is... you have three glass over there. The glass... one of these is broken. This is weird. We don't do this part today, but when I walk over there, I look, and it is broken. I don't know. And I don't know. Okay?
Okay.
Bye. Thank
wow,
you.
Wow, I need to hear that again.
I think I got it. Something's broken.
Yeah.
It is. Message,
here it is.
Press 1.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hi, Mr. Mike. This is me again. In the living room, something is... you have three glass over there, the glass. One of these is broken. This is weird. We don't do this part today, but when I walk over there, I look...
You have three glasses? What?
Broken. I don't know. I don't know. Okay?
Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to tell you my interpretation.
Cut the jibba jabba.
You have three beer glasses.
I have no beer
and
glasses.
And one of them was knocked over.
I have.
You have a glass window. Someone broke a window. Yeah,
I have.
That's. I think that's it.
No idea. Cut the jibba jabba.
No idea.
Do you have any tables that are made of glass?
There, of course, because I'm into coprophilia.
You have a glass coffee table like Danny Thomas.
Yes, for eggs, Danny Thomas style. All right. Anyway,
that's when you wish you could get a follow up. Do you think you would have been able, if it had been a live conversation, to get any further information?
No. No. When they were at the house last week, there was a message, something about, Mr. Mike, of course, because, you know, this is my radio name. This is my real name.
Michael Sores.
She calls me Mr. Mike.
Right.
Right? The message last week was something like, Mr. Mike, we broke in the dishwasher, and that's all I could discern. I was almost taking the dishwasher apart before I realized that she was talking about some serving dish or something.
That broke in the dishwasher.
That had broken. So who knows? For all I know, I might have a plate glass window broken in my house.
Yeah. You could come home and there might be like a small plane in your second floor window.
Who knows?
Like in Garp.
Yeah, like in The World According to Garp.
Oh, I see the problem with the Michael Jackson. Okay, he's on this disc. You know why? Because he's on the same disc as goddamn Tubular Bell. Tubular Bells.
Hey, and that's the
that's
song we
look, I'm not stupid. I know you hate me. And I know why you hate me.
What is that?
That's your housekeeper.
And this particular music you will be hearing in October.
Yeah, let's rock with this. Let's go with some Naked Honesty, Naked Cruelty. Let's see if anything is out there at all for us to dive into. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hey, hi. Who's this, please?
I'm Brad.
Hi, Brad. Where are you from?
Spokane, Washington.
All right.
Spokane.
Like hearing from people in Spokane, Washington. That's a long-time affiliate for us, KJRB, in Spokane, Washington.
The gerbil.
Who is
it? I've been listening for a while.
Thanks.
I like your show. I like your show a lot.
Thanks.
It's very kind of you, Brad.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad. Who is it that you would like me to call because, for whatever reason, you cannot make the call, and why?
It's my brother, and our mother passed away 4 weeks ago. He flew in here...
Sorry.
From Reno. Yeah, thank you. He flew in from Reno, and then we drove to eastern Montana. It's about a 12-hour drive both ways. And, he didn't help me pay for any of the gas or get any food. And
what's your brother's name? Brad, what's your brother's name?
It's Mark.
Mark, okay, so...
Mark and Brad.
Thus far, your mom has passed away, sadly, and
yes,
you've had to drive 12 hours, and
Well, 24 hours, really. Okay. But he was going to help me with gas and stuff. And it was, I guess it's probably $250 worth.
Wouldn't you feel that he was grieving more than you were, Brad? Was that the reason for it? Or is that the reason you haven't made the call yourself? Because you're worried
about it? You know, I actually have to. That's the thing. It's been 4 weeks. I had to make the initial call.
This is
very weak.
Did you make an initial call to tell your brother that he owed you money?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to remind him because he knew he owed me money. Well, and then he pulled the, I got the check back in the mail. I wrote down your address wrong. He pulled that.
So you think he's lying to you?
Oh, of course he is.
You know that is a lie. Someone says to you, hey, I got it back in the mail because I got your address wrong. I mean,
sorry, I missed
it. It doesn't happen because the post office is not that efficient. What they do is...
Think that's a lie, though? Because, you know, I had a cousin.
Yes, they deliver...
I had a cousin that I didn't get the wedding invitation and my whole family did, and I didn't get it till like 3 days before the wedding.
Ooh.
And he said, oh, I had your address wrong. And you know how I feel about my whole cousins and all that.
Yeah.
You know, I always feel paranoid.
You know, that's a lie.
You think it was a lie?
Yeah.
And you know, my whole family on my side, because I made a big deal about it, they were all going. They were all going to the wedding. Thanks for the backup. But it's all right. It was right after I got divorced.
Ah. I got my daughter in a little mini fib today.
Did you really?
That when we were down in Orlando at Universal Studios over the holiday, we had taken a bunch of pictures, and she said to me, I'm going to send you the pictures. And I just kept saying, email me the pictures. She's like, no, I want to get them done, and I want to send them to you. And it's been like 3.5 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So I mentioned to her on the phone, I guess it was yesterday this was, I said, hey, sweetie pie, what about those pictures? And she said, those pictures. And right away, Sue, she said, I knew that the BS was coming.
Yeah.
She's not real good at lying. She said, I sent them to you, but they were returned because there wasn't enough postage on them.
Ah.
And I said, that's odd. I said, where did you mail them from? Did you mail them from your house to the post office? And this is where she tripped up. She said, no, I went to the post office. I went to the thing where it mails you. You weigh it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you put a sticker on it.
And it gives you the proper amount of postage.
Right.
I said, Amy, sweetheart, I don't follow that. It's like, I would imagine maybe somebody would show up like postage due.
Right.
But again, I don't think the post office is efficient enough to send something back to
return to sender.
Yeah. So,
because it doesn't have the adequate postage.
And anyway,
if she waited and she got it, it would have the adequate postage.
I pressed her on it a little bit and found out that she in fact just had not gotten around to sending the picture.
Right. Didn't want to hurt your feelings.
She just didn't want to tell me that.
Maybe there are no pictures.
Well, I know there aren't pictures because I bought the cameras.
God, I wish people could be more thoughtful.
Yeah.
What? What'd I say?
I love it when you speak, Captain Thoughtful.
You know, when you're telling that story, and God damn it, I'm doing it tonight.
What?
I'm sending my mom these pictures of my daughters because I just have been, horrible.
Yeah.
You know, shocker. I've been horrible over the years about pictures, and I'll say, hey, I'll send you that, and I'll send you this, and I'll send you that. And I have to put a box together.
Well, just, I caught her. You know, it was yesterday. It was not a big deal. She said, okay. Right. Well, I felt bad. I didn't want to think. I forgot. I said, just easier to tell me. Just tell me.
Little white line.
Right?
See, now you'll do more sleuthing in the future. You'll do more sleuthing.
Mm-hmm. No, I won't.
Over little things like that.
One little isolated thing.
But you are definitely grandpa, though. You want the pictures.
Oh, you're goddamn right.
You want the pictures.
I love those little brats. I love those kids. I swear to God I do.
Right.
Anyway, Brad.
Brad has a problem with Mark.
This is not thick enough. I'm sorry. This is not sponge worthy.
Is there anything that would make it thicker, Brad?
Well, it was last Sunday that he called and he said, well, give me the correct address. So that was Sunday. Now it's Friday. I haven't been home yet, but I haven't got a check yet. It takes probably a day, 2 days to get mail from Reno.
So. All right. Hold on. I was going to say, where's your brother live? If you are in Spokane and he's in Reno, that's got to be 2 days tops.
Yeah, tops.
You know, to make it thicker, Brad, there has to be something else about your brother that's been bad in the past.
That you wanted to tell him. I mean, I wouldn't mind dropping this thing about... the $250, but there's got to be something else.
More. Is there anything like growing up over the years, anything particular from childhood that would really, that you'd want to get off your chest?
Oh, God. Well, there's only one thing that I could say, but everybody tells him it all the time, and he's just full of crap. he's had to have heard that a million times in his life.
BSer. Well, yeah, but so, you've probably heard the same thing, right, Brad?
Oh, I'm not full of crap at all. I'm quite honest about everything.
No, but you've heard it, right?
About
I spoke.
Yeah, I'm getting the impression just based on this phone call that maybe Brad's heard it a couple of times.
We are going to cut you loose. I just looked at the clock here. We've wasted too much time with this. Listen, don't be a pussy. Just call your brother, okay?
Yeah, it's not a big one.
Thank you. How did I do this time?
Excuse me.
Yeah, but there goes the eye again.
You're jealous of my hotness.
That's everybody loves Earl.
Right. My name is Earl.
What I call everybody loves Earl.
Right. My name is Raymond.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
There we go. Hi there. Who is this, please?
This is Mike in Las Vegas.
Hi, Mike. Welcome back to Naked Cruelty, Naked Honesty. What do you got for us?
Oh, I was just calling to let you know that I work for the post office, and we return mail for short postage all the time.
Insufficient post. Yeah, but your daughter confessed.
But she was lying to me about it, though. White lie, and Rob thinks those are the best kind of lies, aren't they?
Well, you should hit her then.
Oh, no, now that's different. You're applauding hitting.
Rob is applauding.
Yes. You're applauding hitting.
Hitting my daughter.
That's your solution for everything.
Get out of here. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, where are you guys?
You mean, like, physically?
No, actually, I'm traveling through Philadelphia, and I cannot find a local station. Where are you all in Philadelphia? Come on, think of it.
No, the frequency is 90.5.
I'm sorry, say again?
90.5.
No.
90.5.
No.
Well,
no, 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 five, no,
no, no. It's sunny 106.5, where it's always 106.5 degrees.
You know what? That actually would probably give you a febrile seizure if you were that hot.
86.7 FM.
Do you live in the Philadelphia area?
No, I live in the D.C. area. I have been listening to you all since I moved to the area in 1989.
Well, if you're an avid listener, you might know our history in Philadelphia.
Well, there was a cat named Tim Sabian who kind of ensured the fact that we won't be hurt in Philadelphia anytime soon.
Ever again. Kind of a guarantee of failure up there.
So if I was you, I would just drive my car off whatever road I'm on.
Oh, well, you know what? I wish I could drive my car off the road because the traffic sucks.
Bad traffic today?
It is. And if I can't find you on the radio station, I'm going to have a meltdown.
Do it,
baby. I'm going to have road rage.
Are you wearing a business suit right now?
I am, actually.
I am.
Ooh, are you Southern? Are you a Southern gal?
I am, actually.
I am.
Where are you from originally?
I am.
From Tennessee.
Are you a plumper?
Am I a plumper?
Yeah.
No, what?
Are you a woman of larger carriage?
No, well, I'm 5'9".
Okay, well, that doesn't really answer the question.
What's your dress size?
Rob, this is Rob's naked honesty.
It's an 8.
See, an 8. 8's not bad.
No, she's plump pretty.
8 is like normal, right?
Yeah, 8's an average size. Average, so not too bad.
I don't know a lot of women, 8 would be like a 2. I mean, because I know how chicks think.
Exactly.
But like a 2 is like, right. If you're Kate Moss, then, and some chicks, an 8 is like, please, you know, live in the real world, a 12 is a real size,
what
right?
kind of minivan are you driving?
I am not driving a minivan. I am driving an Acura MDX.
Are you a single successful gal?
No, I am actually a middle-aged physician, mother of 4.
You're a physician?
Mother of 4.
Yeah. Oh, that means... I love our educated listeners.
You got to be stretched.
Well, you know what? Actually, I am going to invent a device just for you all.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
What is it going to be?
Well, see, when I first started listening to you all, I was single without children. And now I have children that it is inappropriate for them to listen to you.
So and I bet that your Daisy looks like a slinky toy. after four kids climbing out of that tunnel.
What kind of medicine do you practice?
Emergency medicine.
So you're an ER physician.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you guys keep wandering all over the dial, all over the time zone. So I'm actually going to invent...
Hey, what's
a plantable radio?
I love to ask this question. What's the grossest thing you've ever seen in the ER?
She's going to invent a plantable radio.
That's
what she was saying.
I like it.
Yeah,
I want to know what's the grossest thing is you've seen in the ER.
Oh, I can't tell you the grossest thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it too gross? What's the most unusual object ever removed from a person?
No, you
So fast.
No, you can actually, if you just say the object, it's okay.
What's the object you pulled out of somebody?
Anybody that's worked for a long time in the ER has pulled something out of somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think probably the most common gross thing would be small, white, with four legs.
All right. Oh, really? Like a mouse?
Right.
Yeah.
What's the most unusual?
So that's still going on?
So did you ever pull out one that was still alive?
No.
They were all dead.
Trophies, yeah. Bowling pins, anything like that? Bowling trophy, Buzz.
No, I've never seen a bowling pin.
Okay.
Well, all right, darling.
The most common thing would be mice.
Mice. That's what you find in people's butts.
That's the common gross thing.
Common gross thing.
That's the common gross thing.
Do you usually set a trap, or?
Yeah, how do you get that?
You don't even want to know.
No, we do.
Does it require lubricant?
Lots. Yeah.
Do you have to go in? Is it like fishing? Do you have to go in there like with a piece of wire to catch the string?
We take a little forceps and we put a piece of cheese on it.
Yeah. You get out of here.
Forceps with a piece of cheese and he just coaxes him out.
Now look at this.
That usually works for you.
We've spent almost 10 minutes on the phone with a chick. We don't have time for naked cruelty now.
It's worth it for this.
Well, forceps with a piece of cheese.
All right, I'm sorry you cannot hear the show in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Turn your car around immediately.
Come back.
And get closer to where we are.
That's the same thing they used with Rob Spiewak when he was a breech bird.
Exactly.
That got him to come out right away.
Jeez.
Exactly. Put the cheese on the forceps.
All right, bye.
All right, well, bye. Listen, bye, guys.
Bye,
Seth,
honey.
Johnson loves you, okay?
Thank you.
See you later.
See you. Bye-bye, stinky
sleepy. Bye-bye. You're sitting there in the ER, like, bleeding profusely from the head.
How y'all doing?
Bleeding.
Bleeding. I need your copay.
Hello, Don and Mike. You know, we've got all these calls now for the cruelty.
Yeah.
We spent time with that chick. Hello?
Hi, I'm an ex-ER nurse, and I can tell you what I pulled out of people.
Really? Well, now the tide has turned. What did you pull out of somebody? Tell us.
You know what a mag light is? The kind the police carry?
Like the huge,
flashlight.
Flashlight.
That's it. The three C-cell size. It was hefty.
Was it on?
Still worked after it came out.
Oh, it was on? It was on or off when you took it on?
That should be a commercial for the battery.
Oh, was it on or off?
Still
see
work.
What they were doing.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello? It was so bright you could see the piece of cheese.
Hello?
Hello, is it me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to tell you that I used to work at a hospital.
Yes, honey.
And this guy came in and he had a, you know the Flonase?
Flonase? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Flonase?
Yes.
He had the cap stuck in his
butt. In his butt.
His duty.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah,
how did that happen? That's a product for your nose.
Exactly.
It's a sinus product.
First instructions
yeah.
were low name.
Yeah, I think he was doing something and...
No.
Do you think so, Dr. Welby?
She is so innocent.
Yes, I do.
She is so innocent.
And you know what? And then, you know, how embarrassing is that? Like, he's drunk and then, like, he wants the doctor to come in and, like... remove it, and so he comes to me and asks me if he can go to the bathroom, and I'm like, what do you mean? If you need to go, go. Like, why would I not want you to go?
Yeah.
Well, the doctor didn't have to remove it.
Oh. did he remove it himself? No. I mean, like, did he come out or
time passages
when he went to the bathroom?
Did
he come out with it in his hand or did he flush?
Did it come out in his food?
Watch.
Well, how did you know he had it up there?
But did it come out in his food?
He came in like that. He came in and they...
For our physicians,
that's
because
right.
He could have done that at home.
No wonder right, it's so long in the ER.
I'm not a physician, but I was on the floor. I was working on the floor that he happened to come up on.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you sound like a sensitive caregiver. Yeah,
this would have really worked out if we could now call the guy and tell him that he grossed you out because you had to try to get the Flonase cap out of his buttock.
Or if you had renamed the segment, What's Up There?
Yeah, exactly.
What's Up There?
Or just What's
Up?
Yeah.
What'd you find up there?
All right, well, another day, another time.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call.
Okay, I just have one more thing to say.
Of course, darling.
Rob.
Yes.
F off, you fat ass.
Oh, my
God. Wow.
Well,
Where did that come from?
Whoa, look out!
Where did that come from?
Wow.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea.
It's called, out of nowhere.
I think that's payback.
Oh, my God.
Well, I will accept that.
And I really believe
what a shock,
you are totally
listening.
Overpaid to be a receptionist.
You think
oh,
so?
My God.
What
this hatred all of a sudden?
I don't understand what merits this. I do have a prescription of Flonase to send over to your house.
No, I think you better use those on those bottles on yourself.
Okay, why don't you go and stock up on Lysol? Stay ahead of the problem.
Jeez, now.
Damn.
Throw a bucket of water on them.
Yes, these are your corners now. Please time out.
Now, did you make up that thing about Flonase just to say something mean to Rob?
No. That did happen.
Don't throw water on this lady. She'll dissolve.
But I do want to say, the other thing I want to say is, Don.
Yes, do go on.
One more thing. Don't go on.
No, I want to share with you, and Mike, you're awesome too, but the other comment I wanted to make was, you know, you said you were having problems with your girlfriend, and
Oh, you're talking to Mike? Who are you talking to? To Mike, okay.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, is it my turn now?
She's all over.
Yeah, it's your turn. But, you know, all I wanted to say is I understand that your girlfriend is younger than you, much. And I think she's probably this really lovely person. But at the same time, like, why do you care whether or not you get married or not?
Well, you've effectively stopped the show. Yeah. You should have left it at Flonase.
I consider myself at this point the Lou Gehrig of this segment because she wants to have an affair with me. That's right. All I got.
That's what you got.
She hates Rob.
You're the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
She hates Rob. She's
right.
Giving you crap about
She's
Carla.
She's giving me crap about Carla.
Hey, Annie Wilkes, are you on a cell phone right now?
Hey, Rob, don't talk that way to her. I'm going to be boning her tonight.
Oh, she had to hang up. She needed to put both hands on the broom.
Hey, would you stop, please? I got something she can put two hands on tonight.
Hey, you know what? We got one last guy in here. You got anything for Buzz?
No. Buzz?
Yes?
Okay. I wouldn't mind smoking a doobie with you sometime. But
I don't understand what you mean.
What floor of the hospital will that happen on?
Yes, what else, darling?
Mike.
Yeah, you're back to me again, yes.
Yes, and I love you too, but see, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned for you, and I'm concerned for Carla. Because, you know, obviously what she wants is, like, this marriage, and do you care? Why are you letting this just keep going and going? Why don't you just say, no, that's not what I want?
Darling, tonight when I caress your sweet hair, after we make glorious love, when we are intertwined and spooning, I'll tell you what a sensitive man Mike truly is.
And I will have to ponder that question for the majority of the weekend, darling. I can't answer you right now.
And I have but one more question.
Rob has a question for you. Would you entertain a question from Rob?
Why did he leave?
Dude, don't listen to him. Think about tonight when I'm looking at that space on the back of your knee.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
It's a good move.
I really, 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 really can't wait.
Oh, hey, yeah. How about that? So you are the lucky man on this one.
Because you can lick her there and she can still eat all the brownies she wants.
Rob was making a fat joke about you.
Because you're a fat, disgusting hog.
Oh, dear.
I bet she's America's next top model.
What's that?
It's the problem.
Plan it out and say it.
Okay, the
problem. Concentrate.
I'm going to bang
her. You are the fat ass.
That's right.
I am going to bang her so hard tonight, I'm going to bang some sense into her.
The airbags are going to explode.
You might kill yourself.
I just think you should be nicer, and I don't understand why you're so damn mean.
So should I be as nice as you, less nice, more nice? How does that figure?
Why does everybody want to get on my lady?
I think you should be...
Let's get together this weekend and do some casket shopping.
Some what?
Casket shopping. We'll reinforce the handles on yours.
Gentlemen, I will be squiring this lady later tonight.
Yeah,
and I want all of this stopped. Now, stop this.
All right, when you're making love to Don, make sure you put the cauldron on low. You don't want it to boil over.
Don, don't listen to them. Tonight.
I like it when you go between the witch and the fat joke.
Yeah, big fat witch.
The only thing, I was just, you know what?
What?
I honestly just called about the Flonase thing, but then the thing about Rob, I just remembered from the other day that
he was not nice.
Tonight when
Tonight.
And I wanted to get that in there, that's all.
Tonight when I'm watching that little bit of lint that's formed in your belly button and I play with it and twirl it in my...
I know, I am clean.
That's funny.
Twirl it in my hand.
Since she's clean, Don.
Make it look like a...
flowery.
I have to get it before we get off the phone.
Who is the, girl.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Now, you owe that to us. We've had you on for a very long time. Come on.
Well, what's the answer? George Patton?
George Takei.
George Lopez.
No, Spanky from the...
Now, come on.
Really? Come on.
We're going to have sex tonight. Who do you look like?
Yeah, really, it's in fairness to Don, you should just get someone that you resemble.
Someone that I resemble.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going
to... No
you know one's ever is? Come to you and said, aren't you Lulu Roman?
From you on.
Wow. pretty nasty.
Yeah.
It is pretty funny.
This is when you guys start getting mean, is when somebody can't come up with a name.
Yeah, well, you know, that's come up right. with a name for us. Come on.
Honey, I'm the one that's dying for this.
Don's going to be banging you later. He wants to know a name.
Come on. Give me something to look forward to.
Come on, Miss Wilson. Please. Barracuda.
Gwen Stefani.
Right.
Gwen Stefani.
Oh, well, we have a name now. It's a good name.
Gwen Stefani. All right, baby. I look forward to that.
All right, then.
Sorry, my friends are so cruel to you.
That's all right.
I wasn't cruel. I took her advice about my marital situation.
Mike, I love you.
I love you too, baby. Okay. Can I have sloppy seconds?
You want a banger too, Mike?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Yeah, okay.
Hope no one tips you over in the pasture tonight.
Rob. Do you mind if Buzz watches while Mike and I bang you?
Rob, you're so damn insecure.
I'm like invisible.
She is on you. Wow.
Do you mind if Buzz watches while Mike and I tag team you tonight?
As long as he has a doobie, that's fine with me.
Wow. There we go. Everybody's happy now. Happy. Why are you putting
one thing from me?
Hey, Buzz.
I'm sorry.
Face it, one time.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some poontang, and I'm going to share it with my best buddy, Mike.
Yeah, you got to deal with that.
All right.
One time, she likes you for weed. She doesn't like you for your thing.
Oh, I get it. Mr. Burbank.
I get it, all right. Maybe tomorrow night you can have a date with Billy. Billy Club.
Oh, boy.
Are you a bleeder?
Rob.
What? Oh, it's so frustrating because you want me so bad.
All right, darling, I will see
I'm
you.
I'm trying to think about, like, what
Stop
I...
Stop right there. You're just trying to think. It ain't working. Too many fat cells. It's all clogged.
Darling.
Oh, God.
Darling, just think about how great it'll be tonight when you and I are canoodling together.
And then Don sits up in bed on his elbows and says, I'm through! And then I come stumbling in.
And she says, wait, after the butter.
Imagine
you're making it
imagine
really
tonight
really
when we're having
thing.
Intimate male-female relations and one of your teeth, because I know that your dental work can't be great, one of those teeth just pops right out. I'm going to keep it as a souvenir and keep it close to my heart.
There you go.
I really am, darling. Yeah, you do have all your teeth. I'm kidding about that. You do have all your teeth, don't you?
Of course I do.
Your original teeth?
Yeah, in a jar.
How many do you have? How many teeth?
I have all of them, and they're pearly white.
Pearly white? Well, it'll be a wonderful evening of love.
Put a number? How many?
A number?
How many teeth do you have?
Please. I have no... What's an idea?
Flippin'. She used flippin', Rob. You gotta love her. She used flippin'.
Why did you just guess how many teeth you have?
I forget how many are supposed to be in
a
adult's mouth. I'm not a nurse. I never said I was a nurse.
Orderly?
I said I work in a hospital.
Are you an orderly?
No.
That's the first time she's used the word flippin' that didn't refer to pancakes.
Disorderlies.
Are you a candy striper?
No, he's a candy striper.
How many teeth really do you think you have in your head?
Take a guess.
Serious question.
How many teeth is
the average human supposed to have in its head?
I don't know, 30-some?
Yeah, that's right, 30-some.
Can you give us a number?
32.
That's correct.
Guess
that
what?
Correct. That's correct.
And it took me a long time to get to it because it's tricky.
I have 32 in the first row.
No, because, Rob, you're kind of like throwing me off because you're so insulting.
How many of those teeth do you have that have worn down?
All right. Honey, I will see you later. I will bang you senseless. You will leave. Let me just say, you will leave happier than Marg Helgenberger did last night.
Don't
CSI.
What is your name, my sweet, so we can bid you adieu?
First name. Your name, my love.
Allison.
Oh, then you'll find that Don's aim is true.
All right. All right. As long as you don't tell Howard, I'm cool with it.
Man, I so don't get you guys, but I love you.
I love you too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Allison.
Bye, Allison.
Goodbye.
Bye, Hippo.
She seems nice.
Well, I don't really know what happened to the naked cruelty segment.
No, there was a little in there. We had her on.
Well, Hughes will like it because we gave away absolutely no cash during that segment.
Delightful.
We had many calls for the bit, but we'll do it another time. And Jesus Christ!
Wow!
Look what happened there, Klaus.
Oh my God!
Look at that! You got infatuated with that chick, and we're running later than light.
Oh, she's gonna be late this month too.
After tonight,
That's right.
Yeah, baby, yeah. Imagine that. Imagine if I actually did meet her and have sex with her.
Yeah, the fantasy continues.
Fantasy.
I say like I'm kidding.
I think it's a good fantasy. Fantasy. Sorry.
We'll be right back. Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
I worked hard to try to kill him. I authorized the finding for the CI to kill him. We contracted with people to kill him. I got closer to killing than anybody's gotten since. And if I were still president, we'd have more than 20,000 troops there trying to kill him.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's, of course, Bubba.
Most of the time, the listeners are wrong. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. And as it turns out, he's here today. We've been waiting around most of the week on the show.
How are you?
Here he is, this former president and leader of the free world, Bill Clinton.
I didn't think I'd ever make it in here with that dumbass game you were playing out there. I didn't understand what you were doing. I've been here for over 45 minutes waiting.
Good job on Fox News Sunday kicking that guy's ass.
What do you mean by that?
Chris Wallace.
Why are you so confrontational?
I know what you're trying to do. I came down here on the pretense of... you're going to try to twist this around. That's what you do and your hit squad people that are around. But you're going to twist this around. I was waiting here, and you kept me waiting because you knew that would make me angry. And you knew you could capitalize on that because that's what you do with all your... And, you know, you guys just sit here like in the... You know, you like your own farts. I'm not being confrontational.
Yes, you are.
No, don't think that I am. I'm not being confrontational.
You've already wagged your finger at me the same way you wagged your finger at Chris Wallace.
I will wag my finger. I was a president of the United States, but under my watch, I was a very popular president, even though I may have had some things that went wrong. But the fact remains that I actually did a good job, and you're sitting here disrespecting me by letting me cool my heels. I was talking to a man of questionable intellect out in the hallway who was eating candy and licking his fingers and then ate a ham sandwich, and I had to sit there next to him on a stool that didn't even have a back on it. I don't understand why you're trying to do this. I know what you do.
Hold on.
You're part of that right-wing conspiracy. Hillary told me about the whole thing. Everybody's trying to twist the words around, you know, Slick Willie, all this. I did my job. I did my job, and the people in this country...
Settle down. I'm on your side.
You are?
Registered Democrat.
Yeah.
Oh, now you
I didn't know that. How are you?
You should
How y'all
know,
doing?
You should know that while you're here screaming at me...
Are you too?
No, he's not. He's a Republican.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll keep my eyes on you.
You should know that while you were cool.
He looks like he's too stupid to tell time anyway. That's for sure.
When you were cooling your jets, you should know. Everybody on the show is aware of where we are, and we all knew that we were going long.
No.
Even Mike knew that we were going long with that woman.
Yeah, sure he did.
Yeah, no, he did.
Sure, like y'all did. I know what you're doing. You're going to try to tell me how the show works. I know exactly all about your dirty little secrets. Each and every one of them. I know how they all work. I know how you operate. I really do. You and your smelly friends. I'm sorry. You may say I'm being confrontational.
I think you are.
You might describe this. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
This is the new me.
Mm.
This is exactly how I'm going to behave.
This is how you're going to be when you're first lady.
I sat down with James Carville, and that alien face, Dave, came up to me, and he said, "You are a new man. This is transforming the Democratic Party. Every interview you do, friend or foe, you want to go on that show, and you want to be as confrontational and as angry and as nasty as you possibly can. So even though you're trying to be friendly with me, it is not behooving me or the Democratic Party for me to be nice to you."
I bet I can.
Isn't that a great idea?
I bet I can break you down.
You break me down. I don't want to be broken down. Now, that's what you think. No one can break me down. I'm angry. I'm angry at you. I'm angry at him.
Can I smell your fingers?
Oh, hell, sure.
Vegas.
Oh,
yeah. That was the Cuban maid at the hotel earlier today.
He right.
Pretty good stuff. I'm still doing that. You know how to get my sauce.
See, I broke you right away. Let you tell. Right.
But just remember, the new Bill Clinton. All of the interviews that I'm doing, everything I'm going to do, I'm going to be very, very serious and confrontational and argumentative and difficult with every interviewer that I sit down.
I'm going to give
whether it's Katie Couric, Brian Williams, or any of those other asshats.
I want to give you one. Robbie, put 1 minute on the clock.
Sure.
And Buzz.
Yes. And you back off, Olive Breath. Because I've got my eyes on you too. I heard what that lady said, and I concur.
You will find.
You are mean spirited. You're going to go straight to hell on a skateboard. And you remember Slick Willie told you, and I don't mind calling myself Slick Willie either. That's right. And you're going to burn in hell too.
Yeah, really?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know why.
You will find no bigger support of your platform on this show than that guy in the next room.
It's true.
Now, I defy you.
Does he still practice active love?
Oh, yeah, he does.
Oh,
he's
really
a swinger. Yeah. He's a swinger and...
All right, how about the fellow in back of you, all the way in the back of the room? What's the deal? Is he a skinhead?
No, actually,
John Norman?
Not really.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he looks like a Nazi sympathizer to me.
I know.
There's no doubt about it.
Here's the test if you can really be confrontational.
Now, I'm not going to slide into that trap. What you're trying to do is make me take a test, and I'm not going to take a test. I refuse to take a test. There will be no litmus test in this interview room. I will do what I'm here to do, which is to promote the agenda, which I feel is good for the country. I'm sorry, I'm getting cotton mouth.
All right, forget
Let me take a little drink of water.
All right, forget about the test.
I will not take tests.
I'm not going to give you a test.
I will fist fight him, though, just for fun, because I have recreated myself in the image of a fighting man.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what our country needs today. And I have prayed on this with my friend James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed on this together, and he said, come out swinging. Don't let the idiots get you down. Don't let the bastards carry you away anymore. You just fight for what is right.
Right.
And even if I do not know what is right, I will fight for it. That is what I intend to do today.
When was the last time you banged Hillary?
That's confrontational. But it's also a horrible thought. And it's something I'd really not like to talk about. Now I know you're talking to me and you're trying to soften me up because, you know, we have those mono-e-mono discussions about Hillary. Oh,
my God. How could you do that?
Well, every now and then I have to return to Chappaqua when she's up there.
Yeah.
Oh, my. God, pretty.
Do you have to service that account?
No, we have separate bedrooms. Separate bedrooms, bathrooms, and kitchens. Our house in Chappaqua has actually been divided completely in two. She can live a very clean and wonderful life in that house without even seeing me.
Like the Odd Couple almost.
Absolutely.
But they would put the tape right down the middle of the room.
We didn't use tape. There are actual walls that have been constructed. It is almost like it on the outside, our house in Chappaqua. I can tell you about this because it's a beautiful home.
Yeah.
And I love a beautiful home. I was very happy in the White House and the governor's mansion. But I really do enjoy this house because on the outside it looks like a very, very nice mansion, a very successful upscale house. But on the inside it's actually a duplex. You open the main door and there are two separate doors.
Two separate homes.
Her quarters and my quarters. And man, you want to talk about ugly hindquarters. Absolutely. I parted the ankles on April 19th, 1983.
Wow.
That would be the last time.
So when's the last time you got some release?
Oh, earlier today, I told you that Cuban maid.
It's a Cuban maid.
Yeah, I was saying, excuse me, could I get an extra? Here's my line. Now, check this out.
Okay.
You'll like this.
Okay.
What I do is, of course, they're all, they're completely consumed, whether they be from another country or not, that I am a former president of the United States.
Jets.
They're a little bit nervous. And I walked up to her, and I gently tickled the back of her neck, and I said, excuse me. And she turned around, and our eyes met. And, of course, once I got their eyes, I got them good. And she looked at me, and she said, see, Senor Presidente? And I looked at her and I said, is there a chance that you could bring me an extra mint for my fella? And then she was in the room, the door shut, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I didn't do anything really bad. We just played a little game. A little game I like to call Find the Maid in the Dark. And that's why you like smelling my fingers like that. There's nothing like being a former president who's still got a great deal of sexual energy.
See, now you're not being confrontational. Now you're laid back. This is the Bill Clinton that we know, that we love.
Now, hold on a second. What you're doing right there is you're labeling me. I'm not going to sit here and let you label me like everybody wants to label me. It's not that simple. We had a chance to get people. We didn't get people. I tried to get people, which is more than I can say the current administration has tried to do. And you're trying to label, and that's what they try to label. And what you're dealing with now is a big, dumb, fat ass that's just going to lead this country down into the pit of hell.
How do you like it?
I like it.
I think it works pretty good, don't you? I'm really happy to be here, but I tell you, I love the new confrontational me.
Yeah.
You guys got to keep the laughter down just a little bit because seriously, I'm trying to be serious about this.
Are you going to be confrontational with the other Bush, the guy that you're friends with now? You know, Dum Dum's dad?
No, but what I am actually going to do is slowly and surely I'm going to make an attempt to make him look like a complete idiot. That's right. I'm actually going to take his speeches when we go to do all that world beating that we like to do around the country.
Yeah,
we're going to basically change some of the lines in his script. Basically, George H.W., as I like to call him, Herbert Walker.
Right. Yeah.
Herbert Walker likes to take the script and read right off it. I mean, if it's on a page, he's going to read
it. Like Ron Burgundy?
Just like Ron Burgundy. I love that movie, too. I loved it when he got the boner. That's a good movie. I will stupefy number 41. Number 41, when I get done with him, he will look like a complete blithering idiot. You thought Ronald Reagan couldn't hear the dinner bell. This fella's going to be really, people are going to think he's a blithering idiot, all because I've stolen his copy that he has to read. And you'll hear him stammering and a stuttering, and I'll just be happy as a clam. And then if I go on a news show, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask that I sit down and I get a very, very good sturdy chair that I can sit right on the edge.
A nice stool.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, what I'm planning on doing is Tim Russert.
Yeah.
I'm going to poke him right in that big right breast of his, that big droopy nipple that he's got hanging out through his dress shirt. I'm going to poke it so hard that it might even make him bleed.
Ouch.
And he won't like that. He'll know he's dealing with a different hombre. I've always been very, very peaceful. I'm going to go after the fat people. That's what I'm really going to try to do. I'm going to attack the fat people, whether they're sympathetic
or not. You used to be one of us.
I know I used to be one of you, but the really fat ones like Tim Russert, Chris Matthews, I'm going to give them little twisters. I'm going to poke them, and I'm going to say, here's the point.
Purple nurples?
What people don't realize, let me tell you something real true about Chris Wallace.
Okay.
He's a soft, gelatinous, jelly-like man, which people realize. If you look at him on TV, you can probably tell. When I poked him, I was poking him right on the end of his nipple.
Mm.
People didn't realize that is excruciatingly painful if you do it the right way. And when he started asking me questions about, why didn't you get Bin Laden? I took the end of my fingernail, and ever so lightly, every time I made a point, I would brush that nipple with my fingernail. And I know he was in excruciating pain by the time I was done. So imagine what it's going to be like with a guy like Tim Russert. He's got D-cups.
Gigantic nipples.
I'm very excited about this new me. Don't mess with Billy. Do not mess with Billy C.
I don't know how to tell you this.
That's the new name, too. Billy C. coming to town.
We have to break now.
You have to break.
We have to break.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'll be coming back. I'll come back the new feisty Bill Clinton. And the next time I come back, there won't be this little console in between us. I'll be real close. I'm going to sit on your side of the console, and I'm going to press on your nipples like you would not believe.
Okay.
You can look forward to that.
All right.
Y'all vote Democratic. I understand Curly over there has got some big news coming up pretty soon, doesn't
he? I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff for us. I just want to say touche to that.
Yeah.
I gave him a little story before I came in
here. Thank you for that.
I think he's really going to enjoy himself.
Okay.
And God bless you and the United States of America, Don Geronimo. I prayed on it.
Thank you, Billy C.
Y'all take care now. You're here. Bye-bye. Me so horny.
Wow.
Former President Bill Clinton.
See, a different man.
Yeah, clearly.
Very angry guy now.
He's very angry, but you seem to always soften him up when you talk about her.
No. Oh, Kangles?
Yeah, Kangles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As we mentioned, look at this. East Coast time.
Wow.
6:03. That means it's time for Bob.
Bob!
Time for Bob's News.
What about Bob?
When we come right
back. Number 4 Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Ah!
Yes,
cut the jibber jabber.
Get ready for some hot fun. Wednesday, October 18th, the Don and Mike Reno Style Show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Drive. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, beautiful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, bodacious Bud, red-hot Rock, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Right, Buzz is clean. You heard that. Oh,
what's the word from Planet Crackpot?
They are the codeine in your cough syrup. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Okay. Anybody want to guess? Is up to bet on this on Monday? My girlfriend is going over to my house sometime soon.
Oh, to investigate the...
Yeah. You want to make your final guess on what's broken at my house?
Some ceramic item. That's right. Do you have ceramic items in that room?
Just my collection of Hummels.
Hey. I'm with that one. Something
Welcome
else.
To Verizon's voice messaging service. Please enter a...
This is a real message.
I'm really trying to hear what broke.
That I got from my housekeeper.
Enter your passcode.
Window or door, I said.
During the show today.
One. New message.
Here it is, okay.
One.
Listen again.
First message.
Here we go.
Hi, Mr. Mike. This is me again.
Hi, Alicia.
In the living room, something is... you have three glass over there. One of these is broken. This is weird. We don't do this part today, but when I walk over there, I look, and it is broken. I don't know.
Well, Rob thinks he's gone.
I don't know. Okay.
Something you have three.
Bye.
Three
Thank
of.
You.
Three glasses.
All
yeah.
I know is that she says, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
Right.
Robbie.
You still have that big curio cabinet where your TV is in the living room?
Yep.
With glass.
It's one of the panels of glass, either a shelf or the door has a crack in it.
Oh, all right, well.
Because doesn't that in sort of three parts?
I guess, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I'm
going to
say it's your Emmy.
Here is Bob. I love the language barrier.
Yes. It's wonderful.
It's I love the fact that... And this
strangely
is,
frustrating, sometimes exasperating, challenging.
And what is really weird about that is, you know, like you do with everybody in your life who has a key to your house and can get into your crap anytime they want. I trust this woman implicitly.
Sure.
She was wonderful before Frida died. She's wonderful now since Frida has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But frankly, I don't understand. She left me a message last week as well. That I just could not decipher until I saw her today when she said it was a plate that had broken. It was, okay, fine, no problem.
Just remember one thing about that language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
All by design.
Yeah, one of these days you get a few drinks in her, some cerveza, she'll start speaking perfectly.
All right, so, Buzz, you think it is a door?
Well, I think so. I'll stick with that.
And
yeah.
Rob thinks it is...
your curio cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, you still think it's beer glasses?
No, I'm going to stick with your Emmy.
Here is Bob P. Gurdley. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Don and Mike. Your grilled chicken is trying to kill you. A doctor's group here in Washington says it's discovered that grilled meat is chock full of a cancer-causing compound. Quoting the president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, grilled chicken can cause cancer, and consumers deserve to know this supposedly healthy product is actually just as bad for them as high-fat fried chicken.
Wow.
And with that, the group is suing seven big restaurant chains. McDonald's, Burger King, Chick-fil-A, Applebee's, Chili's, Outback Steakhouse, and TGI Fridays. The doctors are as serious as cancer about this. Quoting again, even a grilled chicken salad increases the risk of breast cancer, prostate cancer, and other forms of this lethal disease.
I was watching the Today Show this morning, and you know, the goddamn America. I mean, greatest nation in the world.
Yeah.
Thank God we live here. But really, the smoking and everything, okay, if you don't want to have smoking at a restaurant. I was watching this morning this thing in New York City. That now the thought police are past cigarettes and cigars. Now they're getting to food.
Mm-hmm.
And what they want to do is ban restaurants that make food with trans fat.
Right.
Now, there are like 24,000 restaurants in New York. What are you going to do? Go to every single McDonald's, every single KFC, and even the medium places like Buzz was saying.
Well, you know, as you look at it, we are becoming less free. We are becoming less free. It's amazing, but it happens almost every day.
You know, if we are the fattest nation in the world.
Yes.
Let's hear it for America.
Bravo. Good work.
The last thing I want, I mean, I almost buy this crap about cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
I almost buy this crap that, all right, if you want to have a smoke-free environment, I understand, because I've been to plenty of places where people don't like my cigar smoke.
Right.
So I can relate to that. But Jesus Christ, if you go to a restaurant and you want to have food They want to have a rule in New York City, and I guess a similar rule has already been passed in Chicago.
Where they don't have the certain oils that they cook the food in. Right.
And these restaurants get fined or could get put out of business.
Right, because the stuff that they want to fry the food in is a lot more expensive to use.
Isn't
right.
the trans fat the tastier fat, though?
Most definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, so
bingo.
It's the good stuff.
Bacon grease, things like that.
Right yeah. in your heart.
I say bring it on.
Bring it on, baby.
Let us make our own choices. If we are
you have a choice to eat that food, for God's sake.
If we're going
to
be a nation of clogged arteries, let us be a nation of clogged arteries,
yeah,
for God's
I mean, in most of those restaurants they're talking about, you go in there and you can eat something that's healthy for you if you choose to.
You know why we're fat? Because we're a nation of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
We've made it. We can eat what we want when we want.
The California Restaurant Association says the lawsuit is groundless and politically motivated. The lawsuit was filed in California, where it has a better chance of being heard.
Oh, that's about the grilled chicken,
a better
right?
chance of being successful. Grilled meat in general, not just chicken, but that's what they're focusing yeah. on here. Of course, California is also the place that at the moment you also have a better chance of being attacked by a squirrel. Specifically at the Bay Area town of Mountain View, at least
cut the jibba jabba.
Six people have been bitten or scratched by angry squirrels since May, the latest being a four-year-old boy at a picnic. The squirrel attacked.
Jimmy, don't go near that.
No, he didn't. Squirrel attacked just as the boy's mother was unwrapping a muffin. You don't hear much about it, but squirrels love muffins, and they don't care if the little boy has to get rabies.
Got a tape of the squirrel.
See?
Here. Here's the squirrel.
Ferocious.
Jimmy, stay away from that squirrel.
Vicious.
Honey, I like you, squirrel.
No, the squirrel can hurt you. Don't go near it.
Well, somebody suggested having a squirrel roundup at Fish and Game, so that wouldn't work because the squirrels would return. They are apparently homing squirrels. Mm. And since word's gotten out among squirrels not to be afraid of humans, Fish and Game recommends the squirrels be killed.
Good. I'm sure if we ate them, they'd cause cancer.
That of course, is only if you grill them. This, of course, is riled up squirrel lovers who may have actually created the problem by feeding the squirrels.
Who wants to eat it boiled?
Muffins.
Did anyone else have their pumpkins eaten by squirrels last year?
No.
Their jack-o'-lanterns? I had three jack-o'-lanterns. Totally eaten by squirrels.
Really?
This must stop.
Kill them, boil them, eat them.
I had one more thing I wanted to mention about the today's show.
Yes?
It's only because we're in the news segment. That makes me think of news.
I know.
Well, it does, though, Buzz.
I know.
You know that awful thing that happened in Colorado where the guy went into the high school?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So yesterday morning, they had a kid on TV, and they gave him the first 15 goddamn minutes of the Today Show.
Right.
And then he went on and did 30 minutes of the CBS Morning Show, where he described being in the classroom,
yep.
how close he was to the girl, how he wanted to save her life, and he did everything that he could.
Little liar.
Yeah. Meanwhile, today, they start the show, and they say, oh, yeah, incidentally, that kid that we had on yesterday who said that he was in the classroom and that he did everything he could to save her life, right. and he was very brave. Well,
he made it up.
He was emotionally caught up in the moment, and he made the whole thing up.
Yeah.
And what pissed me off about this was that they tried to gloss over it. And at least Slinky Boy Matt Lauer.
He made a fist today.
Matt Lauer sat at the desk and said, you know, the kid we interviewed obviously has mental problems.
Mm.
Someone should look into that.
Yeah, Matt Lauer was pissed.
And
Meredith Vieira was not. She was like, well, you know, the trauma of the moment, that's probably what did it. Matt Lauer was like, that's a pretty heinous thing to do.
And did you notice as well, as if to cover themselves, and they would never do this with another story.
Right.
He was on the Today Show, so they showed a brief clip. But then they showed that he was also on CBS, as if to send the message.
They screwed up, too.
We're not the only ones who got fooled by this kid.
And then they broadcast the kid's apology.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, they gave the kid more airtime.
Right. He said, I was in the classroom, and then they shot me with a bullet, and it bounced off my chest. Yeah, that's the thing.
Eat meat!
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, gosh, we haven't heard much about Terrell Owens lately. Wonder what he's up to. Well, I'll tell you. And the story Bill Clinton's so excited about when we return.
Oh, good.
Ooh.
I love T.O. Man, he's super.
More T.O. more often.
Right, you got it. I know Buzz got something we haven't heard yet. We'll be right back.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
It's the word from Planet Crackpot.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's not forget the new one from Mr. T.
Cut the jibba jabba.
Right, thank you, T.
Simply put, the only way to hear Don Geronimo and Michael Mara is to listen to Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Well, listen, we have a contest where we're going to take one of our listeners' commercials, a homemade commercial. And actually, Mike and I are going to buy time on local cable TV here in the D.C. area.
We're
going to
pick our favorite next week, right?
Yes, we are. And the company has promised us, believe it or stuff it, that they're going to actually spend some money and
showcase the spot and run it like before CSI, or a show that everybody watches.
Very cool.
So what you want to do is get your best stuff together, make it a 30-second TV commercial for our show, for 106.7 WJFK, Free FM. We're going to run the spot here in Washington, D.C. If you go to YouTube and you write in Don and Mike commercial, you're going to get 17 or 18 really decent entries, and we'll announce the winner on Monday.
Good luck.
And the TV spot will air, I guess, what, during the month of Rocktober?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Right.
Here now is, once again, here is Fred Birdsong. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I can hear you begging me to tell you the latest on Terrell Owens, so here it is.
Oh, tell me, please, bud.
I know that you haven't had enough. The head of the...
Damn, I love him.
Head of the Dallas Police...
Cut the jibba-jabba.
The head of the Dallas Police Union is demanding an apology from T.O. and his publicist for disputing the police report on that whole suicide drama. At the union, Senior Corporal Glenn White says the responding officers did their jobs, and the quote, those officers are 10 times better than this man, some fancy little football person, end
hey,
quote.
Is that what he said?
That was his words.
And after reviewing all of it,
yes.
After further review,
yes.
I find the guilty party to be T.O.'s publicist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think if anybody is owed an apology by the Dallas Police or anybody, it's her. She's lying about something. I don't think he's lying. I think he's telling the truth about what happened.
Right.
But she made the 911 call.
She's the one that overreacted.
Yeah, she's
and
the one.
And she's the one that set the whole thing rolling that he had tried to commit suicide.
Bingo.
Because she thought it was true.
Cool. She's the one that lied. I really don't think Terrell Owens lied.
I don't think you can blame her for calling 911 if he was passed out, though.
Yeah, but see, nobody really knows what happens. And I even believe Terrell Owens...
You can't blame her, but here's the deal. The reason she's at fault... Yeah, you can't. You might do the same exact thing. The bottom line is that's what she did. She got the whole thing rolling with, she thought he had tried to commit suicide.
And I believe him when he says, I don't remember what happened that night. I mean, maybe I'm naive. I don't think the guy's that hungry for publicity.
No, the guy had a hand that was driving him crazy, and he probably took more meds than he should for it.
You know, my only question would be, and Buzz, you might, I know we brought this up the other day, but you didn't have the answer. What supplements could you possibly be taking, nutritional supplements?
That's the crap. That's where I don't
that
believe
are
T.O.
approved by the NFL or I don't know what kind of screening they do. That if you took a couple of, what were they, Vikes?
Yeah, yes, they were. And I can think of no supplement that if you take it with a downer will make you more down, that will, put you down even further.
But they're saying now, I think there was a recent story about some of the stuff that these guys in the NFL are taking. It's not the steroids that are banned.
There's a growth hormone.
Right.
There's a growth hormone.
You're
growth
messing
hormone.
With any of that stuff, it's different than taking like a vitamin.
Right. Corporal White says he's still waiting for apologies from T.O. and that publicist.
Hey, he should get it from the publicist, and I hate taking T.O.'s side.
Well, T.O. was obvious. Out of his mind. He was totally, whatever he took.
He must have wigged out, man.
He was unconscious.
Without apologies, they have fired that art teacher who took her students to the Dallas Art Museum. This veteran award-winning teacher was at first reprimanded for exposing her fifth graders to a nude statue.
Hello!
So, after 28 years, she's on administrative leave, and the Frisco School Board has voted not to renew her contract.
Yeah.
Because
way to go, guys.
The job of educators is to protect innocent children from art. And whatever you do, keep the kids away from today's Louisville Courier Journal. There, fifth graders could read about nude photos of women in the National Guard.
Yeah.
Somebody, some anonymous person, dropped off a CD-ROM at the paper yesterday, and on it, 232 photos of 6 nude and semi-nude female soldiers.
You're goddamn genius.
Posing with M16s and strategically placed American flag decals.
Hello, Internet.
Sounds like a calendar to me.
I could only put on 230.
The CD-ROM.
Don, baby, how's it going?
That's our stacking back calendar.
Arrived at the paper about a week. These pictures arrived at the paper about a week before the unit left for Iraq. The paper didn't print the pictures and says it will not. It's also turning away requests for those pictures from TV stations.
Please.
I'm not a connoisseur of the women and guns thing. Dog tags are pretty hot, but I digress. Whether Republicans can... Here's the story we're excited about.
Okay.
Whether Republicans can keep control of Congress may rest on a series of emails to a 16-year-old boy. Florida Congressman Mark Foley, up to now considered a shoo-in, has resigned
now that the boy has gone public with those emails. The congressman's office at first said there was nothing inappropriate about the emails, which included requests for pictures of the boy, and there are IMs, apparently, according to ABC News, asking what he was wearing. Here in Washington, Republican leaders are meeting in Capitol Hill to figure out how to handle things now that they've already lost.
This is better than George Allen in the N-word.
This seat in Florida. Here are a couple of IMs. The congressman writes, what are you wearing? The teen writes, T-shirt and shorts. The congressman writes, love to slip them off of you.
Oh,
Congressman writes,
okay, game, set,
man. Do I make you a little horny? Teen, a little. Congressman, cool.
Boy. Where's that guy Chris Hansen when you need
him? Congressman, I'm in your office. I'm in your office. What are these?
And it just keeps getting worse for Republican Senate candidate George Allen, having offended a couple of people for what appears to be a lifelong pattern of racial slurs. Allen apologized. He acknowledged that to many people, the Confederate flag is a symbol of hatred, a flag he, as a Virginian, displayed proudly when he was younger. That comment, that remark about the flag has now angered the sons of Confederate veterans, who are now also demanding an apology. As Rob put it, he's using our flag to wipe the muck from his shoes that he's now stepped in. This is New York, and that's not a Halloween decoration.
Oh, my.
That's our story when we return.
All right, thank you, guys.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been so
incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Let's go back now to Edie Burbank. Hi, Edie.
Hi, Don and Mike. Finally, some guys just can't win. 33-year-old Brian Mantrell of Bonita Springs, Florida, hired himself a hooker.
Bonita.
And then, after the happy ending, he told her he didn't have any money. She left and took his pants. Brian, wearing only a shirt, hid in the bushes until the people who owned the bushes called the police. He's now charged with indecent exposure.
Hmm.
Halloween's a big deal.
Bonita Springs.
Halloween's as big a deal in Greenwich Village as it is anywhere, and it is New York, after all. So people walking by it thought the dead guy in S&M leathers hanging on the park fence was just a decoration. This was the part of the village where you'll find the S&M clubs, but no, it was a dead guy. Quoting one pedestrian, it looked like a dummy. I thought it was a dummy because every year they do decorations like that. She did think it was a little early. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
That's it. I think we gotta go. We gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Have a good, safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. We will be back on Monday with the all-new episode.
Pick the YouTube winner and more. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, good day to you there, Fred.
Good day to you, sir.
And, Klaus Kahn.
Happy birthday, Robert. I love you very much.
Happy birthday, Robert.
Good boy. Strong boy.
You will see you.
Pray on it.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.